The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
A venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
And why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is, or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's this fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. This is the last show before the Patriots head out to Denver to take on Tim Tebow and the Broncos. So we've got a lot to talk about today. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, and of course we'll also go around the NFL at the end of the show and recap our picks from last week and pick the games for this week. There's some interesting matchups, so that'll be fun. But first, of course, we're going to just lay into this game coming up in Denver. And, you know, I think most people, you know, believe the Patriots are going to win. There are some that feel, you know, something could happen, but I think most people think the Patriots will win. And it's funny, I've also got emails from people from Denver, and not just people who aren't Broncos fans, but people who are Broncos fans saying, please, Patriots, you've got to end this. They're having Tebow in the face. They think that he's not the long-term solution, and they want the madness to stop now. That's how divisive it's gotten, where even Broncos fans are, some of them, not most of them, but some of them are like, you know, this is getting a little crazy. We got to end this now, or, you know, it's going to be too late. And that's what we were talking about yesterday, where this is a PR pickle for the Broncos administrative staff and management. They're in a situation now. Paul and Andy are here. Andy just walks in. He knows we're on air, but he just walks in and talks.
It's in progress.
No respect for the for live radio.
In progress.
Studio.
In for progress.
For the process.
Yeah, for the process, right. So webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline, and I expect the phones to be jammed, the emails to be coming in, because, you know, Tim Tebow is dominating the airwaves. You know, all kinds of trades going on in the NBA. You know, Bobby Valentine, forget all that. Forget all that. Forget the Bruins. It's Tim Tebow week.
We were just getting made fun of for that a little bit as Andy, I, and Brian Lowe walked through. They had a little...
You were being made fun of?
A little bit of it. Not personally. The media in general.
Yeah.
They had a little bit of a makeshift walkthrough going on in the concourse, so... The three of us were walking through, and we could hear them saying, you know, every question, Tebow. All they wanted to talk about, Tebow. Every question's about Tim Tebow. And then all of a sudden they saw us, and they kind of, like, started smirking and smiling, and we walked through, and there was, like, an awkward silence,
but
and we just scurried through.
Who said that? The players?
Yeah.
Oh.
Specifically Aaron Hernandez.
Well, you know, I mean, for the media, they got 1 week to, you know, local media, they've got 1 week to make hay. So, you know, they're going to get as much out of this as they can. It's low-hanging fruit.
Yep.
You throw it out there. The phones light up. The emails come in. And so why not? You know, next week, you won't have it anymore.
You'll move on to a different city.
Right. The Tebows will be playing some other team, and the circus will go somewhere else.
I thought you said Tebow doesn't get any credit for them winning.
I made an argument because I had to. But it has changed, though. I think a lot of people are turning it to, you know, look, we have to give the defense credit. Come on now. I think people are saying that, don't you?
Sports Center is all Tebow. Sports Illustrated is all Tebow.
Well, that's the fun part of it. But, I mean, as far as the analysts go, you know, I think that the defense is starting to get dissected. You know, if you look at that defense in the beginning of the year, they had a lot of guys out that came back kind of coinciding with Tebow. So, you know, it's a little bit of a coincidence there.
Kind of coinciding with playing, what do you call them, Paul? Crap bum teams?
Crap bum teams, well, you know.
Or backup quarterbacks or rookie quarterbacks.
Well, all that,
or
it's a perfect storm, you know.
When, right. I'm trying to move away from some of those confrontational things because I was a little worried about Fred yesterday because of the amount of time he alternated with yelling at you and yelling at me. I thought it would be a kindler, gentler Thursday.
No, he's happier today because he just realized he picked Gary Kubiak for his coach of the year, and he's actually in the running. Unlike Mike Singletary, who he picked the year before and was already out of a job.
So you know, you don't get credit for the year that we're in.
Well, and your throw a dart.
Okay, so should I go back every year that you made a prediction and say all the ones you've been wrong? Which,
if you'd be happy to, we can go back.
I think you should do that.
Right. I would love to. I'll put my record up against yours any day, Grandpa.
No one can say anything about themselves. But he goes around, you know, with the T-Rex arms out, talking about every little thing that he's ever gotten right. And I'm talking little, because they are
like
very
what?
Few and
well,
far
like
between.
When he had Tampa Bay winning the Super Bowl in 02?
Right.
And he's been living off it ever since?
Exactly.
Or the year I went perfect in my picks in the postseason.
But God forbid anyone else points out anything else they've done.
I don't recall.
You know,
neither did Fred, because I actually heard him say, Carol, do you know where the issue is from the preseason?
I forgot if I had asked it.
And then 2 seconds later, my Twitter goes, ba-boom, Fred Kirsch, guess who picked Gary Kubiak?
I wanted to confirm it before I put it out there.
You had no idea. Yeah,
I had no idea. Well, why did I check it then?
Because you just wanted to know. You were hoping you had
somebody.
So then
I guess I had an idea,
I don't think
right?
you did.
Yeah.
You don't have a clue.
But he's unbelievable. You know? he spends every breath he has touting himself.
Like what? When was the last time I touted myself? I have to defend myself because you people mock me.
Every
you
breath
mock
he
my
has
power
touting
rankings.
Himself, and then, you know, I point out that I picked Gary Kubiak.
Tony Kubek.
You're right. I should listen to all
Gary
your predictions.
Gary Kubiak, you know, before the season, you know, and that's not acceptable.
I don't mock your picks like you mock my throw a dart index.
Well, I was actually one of your biggest backers. Until you just started getting in everyone's face about it.
I had to defend it. I had people like Paul laughing every time the rankings came up. It's not right.
You so grossly misrepresent me on that.
You two could barely finish a TV segment because you're giggling like little schoolgirls.
I still laugh at the fact that
undefeated doesn't go as far as it used
to. Exactly. And that's it. It has nothing to do with Houston. It has everything to do with Green Bay. That's all.
And I said to him, I'm obviously rooting for Houston to go as far as possible, win as, and it's like they are cursed. Every week they lose somebody. This week, their defensive coordinator has to take a leave of absence to have
surgery. Man, how many times
surgery?
Does that happen?
Right, right.
I mean, they're the anti-Tebow. They are doomed. Everything that can go wrong is going wrong, and somehow they keep winning.
Yeah.
They won't, though. They can't. They have T.J. Yates. As he said, Andre Johnson not only misses most of the year with a hamstring injury, he now has the other hamstring hurt. Now, both hamstrings are hurt. Like, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Jinxed.
Yeah.
Well, do you really think Kubiak's coach of the year, or were you?
No, but I think it's a good point. That
but who is?
What he's doing. Oh, I think he's
Kubiak
in the running.
Could be.
Absolutely. Oh, I think he's in the running.
Jim Harbaugh.
Absolutely. I think it's Harbaugh, Kubiak, and McCarthy.
And you know, McCarthy, to me, the strikes against him is not that he's not a great coach, or it's that, you know, usually when a guy has that much going for him in Aaron Rodgers and that offense, they get points against
well,
him.
Not
but
only
if he
that,
goes
but
undefeated.
Not only that, but they are the defending Super Bowl
right,
champs.
Right, right.
But yeah,
when you go undefeated, I mean, that's something. Bill won it when he went undefeated, right?
So and holding that together,
and
all
they would
that.
Have been up in arms had you know people would have been rightly up in arms had he not,
right?
You know,
but I just think like everything's gone against Kubiak, as I said, and they keep winning. And Jim Harbaugh had everybody said, you know, guys who don't have quarterbacks and don't have off seasons and are new coaches, you can't possibly win.
I think Harbaugh's in the running too,
and it's not just the way he's won, but. You know, they've had all these trips across the country. He's had to go through.
Alex Smith.
Right. He still has Alex Smith as his quarterback. I mean, there's a lot there.
I mean, he basically took the same team that stunk the year before and turned them around.
Right.
I mean,
everybody says, oh, it's a bad division.
Right.
But
hey,
so?
Yeah.
Can only play
no,
a schedule
no, he's
he
definitely
has.
In the running as well. But speaking of coaches, you know, we've already had Sperano and what's his name, fired.
Haley and Del Rio.
And now there's rumors that the Buccaneers were going to fire Raheem Morris on Monday.
They couldn't.
And they couldn't because their staff wasn't big enough.
Their staff's not big enough.
But then they went and ran it down, and their staff is as big as anyone's, if not bigger. They have 18 assistants. And most teams.
Paul, is this where I'm too immature for the show?
And most teams have, you know. Most teams have.
He just realized it. It took him that long.
I thought you were just laughing over the fact that it was, you know, a dumb statement to make.
But who are the teams that have comparable numbers on staff?
Like Green Bay has 15. I forget the other teams.
Patriots. I mean, I just think you can have a smaller staff when you have great top of the line coaching. You have Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy. You have leaders. It's different to have a small staff and lose any leader
I know,
you have.
If you want to fire the guy, what's the difference how big your staff is?
I agree with that. I don't care if he's the only coach on staff.
Right.
If you want to get rid of him, now what are you going to do?
But what is it?
How much help is he now? He knows he's going to get fired in 3 weeks.
But what does it matter if you fire him or don't fire him?
Well, you got a guy in your locker room now who is a lame duck, who's dead man walking.
Yeah, but so?
You know, that.
Andy, if they had said to themselves,
without saying anything
to anybody else, you know what? Morris has got to go, but we can't do it now because we don't really have enough staff here to get. Oh, fine.
Right.
But how can you let that out there?
Well, maybe it's not true.
Maybe. That could be the answer.
That's all. I guess it's possible.
I mean,
but
how did Lindsey Vaughn let it get out there that Tim Tebow broke up her marriage?
Right.
May not be true.
And then the other one
that's
I read
the same
today,
thing.
The other one I read today, which is just as absurd, is that the Colts, if Caldwell doesn't win one of his final games, they're going to fire him. Are you kidding me?
1-15
right.
Saves you. Oh, my God.
I mean,
Damian Woody ate Paul.
I mean,
holy crap.
Is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
Yes.
That is ridiculous. I agree.
I mean, either you want him or you don't. One game's going to make a difference?
And the right answer is fire him.
Right.
Well, he's a corpse, so you got to get rid of
right.
him.
You know, so just the way some of these front offices, and again, the answer might be none of these are true.
Right.
You know, they could be, you know, just made up and somehow they got out there. I'm reading these on NFL.com, though, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm not
Frank
Todick
puts that together.
Well. But I'm not reading them on Deadspin. I'm reading them on NFL.com.
But I think NFL.com is running with more reports.
They are.
They're
absolutely
trying to
are.
Have more news
it's,
on
you know, I said it the other day. I think it's become a really good site for...
Because they're competing with Pro Football Talk
exactly,
and places like that.
Sure, they have to do it.
Terry Bradshaw
But I
dead.
Think there is some, some you know, gatekeeping when it comes to stories like that.
I think it's similar to ours. If the report's out there, you got to say it's a report. But it's a report. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just run with anything you hear, although I did today.
Yeah, why don't you talk
Michael Hawley, author of Patriot Reign and War Room, probably a gift that many Patriots fans are getting this year, I would guess, is the new book, War Room. But he went on the air yesterday, and he said
he believed
even before this week that Bill O'Brien would be a legitimate head coaching candidate, and he thinks that has only been aided this week with him being in the headlines after the little spat with Brady on the sideline that the cameras caught. That owners will look at that. Whoa, he challenged Tom Brady. Wow, look at that. And he thinks he's going to be a legitimate head coaching candidate. I don't see it. I personally think I like him a lot, but I think he needs another couple of years to kind of hone his craft and maybe get a rap on his aggressive style of coaching. As I said to you, I think it'd be kind of a train wreck if he were a head coach somewhere. I think he's very emotional and kind of needs to deal with things a little bit more, get a little more experience.
Yeah, I would even like to see him, you know, if I was
he was one of the ones.
If I was an owner looking for a head coach and I had my sights on Bill O'Brien, I would actually like to see him be a coordinator somewhere else first.
Well, that's not
where
that won't happen.
There's no Brady and Belichick.
It's not going to happen.
To see what he can do on his own a little
but
bit.
But not an option.
What do you mean it's not an option?
He's going to be the coordinator here for a couple of years and then get a head coaching job.
Well,
he's not going to quit here and go somewhere else just to be a coordinator.
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying what I'd like to see. I mean,
that's not going
to
happen.
Okay. They could make up a title where he's offensive coordinator and assistant coach or assistant head coach or
he won't leave here
something that's an elevation.
Will not leave here unless he gets a head coaching job.
Okay.
He won't. He owes a lot to Bill.
Sure he does.
He's from here.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense for him to
if
leave.
If anything, maybe he thinks he's going to be the next head coach here.
Maybe.
The Belichick-Brady run could come to an end. 3 more years for Brady. Maybe he's going to slide right into that role.
You never know.
But it certainly isn't
unprecedented. Now, if that happens, would it you know, have something to do with a TKO by O'Brien to Brady? I mean, how does that end?
It certainly, I mean, Mangini got a job after 1 year as coordinator. He went to the Jets. See how that worked out for him.
Right.
He got off the Christmas card list pretty quickly. I don't think it's going to happen, but Michael Hawley has spent a lot of time with Belichick in these meeting rooms, offices, everything over the last however long with that Patriot Rain book, 5 years or whatever, and now the War Room book. Plus, he's in with Pioli and Dimitroff. I mean, he's got a lot of connections. He's well connected. So he's not just some crazy Yahoo saying, I think O'Brien could be a head coach. Now, maybe he's Bill O'Brien's puppet for all I know. I have no idea.
Why do you think he chose now to come out with that?
I don't know.
Well, John Clayton had an item that he said he thought he would be a candidate for Kansas City. He mentioned that this week.
Okay.
I don't know if that has anything to do with why Holly's talking about it now.
Could be.
I don't know.
McDaniels has also been talked about for that job.
Yes. You mentioned that on Tuesday.
Did I?
Yeah, he was immediate. He was the first guy as soon as Haley was gone, everybody was tweeting, watch out for McDaniels in this job.
And you said,
literally 30 seconds.
And you said,
later.
What? Two egos.
Oh. Did I?
Something like that. Wasn't it something along those lines?
I don't know if I did.
Maybe it was off air.
The reason why I'm surprised, his problem is an ego, I don't think. It was immaturity. It wasn't ego.
I think it was an ego that went beyond his maturity.
You might have thought that. I didn't.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Don't try to paint me as some anti-Josh. I like him a lot.
That's all I'm saying.
I think he just got in over his head.
Yeah.
He had too much power.
Exactly.
He started willy-nilly trading star players.
How do you think he
them.
Feels right now? Like, this is, you know, the thing he really got fired for is 7-1 right now. You know, I still am not convinced, as we talked about yesterday, but that's basically why he got fired.
No.
And losing.
Yes.
For drafting Tebow?
Yes.
Losing.
Absolutely.
It didn't help that he went on a collapse of biblical proportions. Bible twice.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
More importantly, what the hell would happen?
398 is the ace ticket hotline. What?
What the hell would happen here?
If
Bill O'Brien did leave.
Well, we'd have to promote somebody else.
Brian Ferentz?
Maybe.
That'd be my guess.
My guess is there'd be none for 2 or 3 years.
I've heard.
We wouldn't have a. Yeah, you know. What do you call it?
Titular.
Yes.
Where did I read?
Check the blog entry. It made it.
Where did I read that? The word
I look
special.
Look forward to taking that out when I put it in the paper.
The word special had been used to describe his coaching abilities. For Ferentz.
Never read it once anywhere.
I thought I did recently.
Okay, maybe you did. I've never read it once. The assumption with a guy like him is always that he's the most involved because the tight ends are such a critical factor in the run game, the passing game, the pass protection. He has his fingers as a position coach in everything, and that lends itself toward being ready to oversee the entirety of the offense. It's kind of like linebackers. Matt Patricia was your linebackers coach. He's involved in everything. That makes him a better coordinator when he takes the next step. So I think that's a Ferentz thing. Obviously, he's the family, you know, comes from a head coaching background and a program that's strong at Iowa and then under Belichick. That's two pretty good guys to learn under.
Yeah.
I think he would be next in line. Although, dark horse candidate, the guy that's working under O'Brien now. I can't think of his name. Who's the guy, Paul, from Georgia Tech, Central Florida?
George Godsey.
George Godsey.
He's a riser. Keep an eye on him.
Too young.
Say it.
Too inexperienced.
Wait a minute. They're all inexperienced. Ferentz just became a position coach this year. He was an offensive assistant. He's got 1 year up on Godsey because he'll be the quarterback's coach next year, Godsey.
Yeah. Ferentz grew up, son of a coach all around the game and whatnot.
He's an idiot. How do you know George? I bet you his father is
Shut
a coach.
Up!
I bet you his father is a coach. Where's Godsey's bio?
He's got one more year experience.
But seriously.
I'm going to go with the Indy Hunter. Is he more experienced? Is he more experienced?
This debate right here is the reality. Because I don't think it's Ivan Fears. I don't think it's Dante Scarnecchia. No offense to Chad O'Shea, but I don't think it's Chad. Like,
right.
Now you get back to Bill doesn't hire anybody from outside the organization. So it's down to George Godsey, your no title offensive assistant, or Kirk Ferentz. I mean, Brian Ferentz, who just happens to be Kirk's son, and that's his best redeeming quality at this point. I mean, that's where you'd be.
Now you're on my line of thinking.
That's why I think Bill would be really upset, like he was when Mangini left, if
absolutely.
Billy O'Brien bolted.
Yeah.
All it says, Paul, is that Godsey's dad played football for Bear Bryant at Alabama.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! He played for Bear Bryant. That gives him a step up.
No, let's hire John Hanna then.
Well, they did in some place, in some high school, right?
His older brother played at Air Force.
See? Football family.
And his younger brother
played football.
And his younger brother played at Notre Dame.
I mean, wow. That's a good family
So they played football, and that gives them an opportunity to coach it. As
worked out for
to the
Harbaughs.
Who played and coached.
And never gets over the hump at a middling program at Iowa. The BC of the Midwest.
Coach for Bill?
Just when they're about to get to the big game, they don't.
They're not that good. The reason I think you hear a lot about Ferentz is just all the success the tight. I mean, I know what Andy talked about, but how many times do you see position coaches get way too much credit for the individual players they have that succeed?
Well, it certainly
helped. Your old Charlie Weiss.
He coached running backs, Curtis Martin. He coached tight ends, Ben Coates had a great year. And then he coached wide receiver, and Terry Glenn broke the rookie record. And he took full credit for all of us. You know?
So I think that's a little bit of what's going on right now with Brian.
Brian.
Let's get to some emails,
shall we? I didn't want to say Ferentz again and get made fun of.
No, it's when you say Ferentz. Sound like Tim and Pensacola.
Gabe from Tucson writes in, great show yesterday. I have a gentleman's bet for Andy and Paul.
He's on the line, too.
Is he?
Who?
You might want to go to the call so the guy can defend himself.
Who?
I just made fun of Tim and Pensacola.
Andy's making fun of him before he's even on.
It won't be the last time. Gabe from Tucson, great show yesterday. I have a gentleman's bet for Andy and Paul. If the great almighty Tim Tebow were to pull off this win, Paul and Andy should let Fred take a picture of them Tebowing. God knows I want the Pats to win by 100, but I think that would be one funny picture.
I'm in.
What do you guys say? Are you up for the bet?
I'm in.
But what are
if you want to
what
see
do
a
you
picture,
guys get if the Patriots win?
If you want to see a picture of me
lunch.
Tebowing, watch PFW TV tonight. Fred, you and I do it, right?
That's right.
Not really. You guys didn't get all the way down. You didn't go all in.
And you didn't do anything because you're up.
I lived up to my principles
and all that.
While you people Tebowed, I say, I'm not. I hate him.
Yes, I will do that, but it has to be.
Yeah, we need a bet, though. It's a one-sided bet.
And he has to score points. They have to score points on offense. They can't win 10-7.
No, they can.
I have no rules.
I'm saying,
I have no rules.
Saying,
if Tebow wins, I'll Tebow.
No,
well, I think
I'm
it's
not.
Fair, though. It's win. It's just win. That's
no,
how.
You know he's not going to do it either way. Remember when he said,
I'll
if the
it.
Patriots
right.
lose, I'll shave my head, and then 5 years later
he
shaved
his
head. He
also said, if the Patriots win, I'll get on the bus
and I did that.
Right. He's never done. He's
I did
never
that.
Fulfilled a bet he's made.
I'm a believer.
You never got on the bus.
There was no one on the bus, but I did it.
He's Jack Welcher.
Jack Welcher.
A loser.
Wait, but we need something on our side.
Yeah, we have to get something. You have to buy us
lunch
or
something.
But I think
Gabe thinks that they're going to win, so.
But a bet has two sides.
Yeah.
I don't have any problems. If
we win, Gabe buys lunch. Who's right, Gabe? Put your money where your mouth is, brah.
I'll tell you what.
I just don't think an offense can be successful scoring a lot of points with him.
If the Patriots lose, I'll Tebow.
What I'm saying is if the Broncos win 10-7, that's going to be because. Yeah, you're going to be conflicted this week. I'm glad I'm not going to be with you.
No. Are you kidding me? Do you think that there's one sliver of me that wants the Broncos to win?
Yep. Yeah.
No.
A sliver?
Absolutely
I don't
not.
Think it's a lot, but I think it's a sliver.
Absolutely
I
not.
Think it's one of those games that if they were to lose immediately after the game, you will have turned the page. You'll be fine.
No, I was thinking
like
the other
the
day.
Playoffs.
They only had three losses, but in recent memory of the Patriots' losses, I think I was most distraught after that Bills game this year. I mean, that was
think this will be anything like that.
It was just a needless game to lose. And I was wondering to myself, how distraught would I be if the Patriots lost to the Broncos? And I know I would be pretty, pretty distraught.
Well,
but I was wondering if I would be as distraught as it was against the Bills. And I guess it depends on how the game plays out.
I think you'll be fine.
You'll go home and put your Elway jersey on.
I don't think you want them to lose, but I think you'll be fine if they do. I think you'll sit there and say, I'm right about Tebow and, this.
I'd rather be right about the Patriots, though.
But you are right about the Patriots. Win or lose, the Patriots are still good.
Well, if they lose to the Broncos,
they always lose in Denver.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, but this is different
now. That's just poor to me.
This is different now. I mean, you can play a certain style on offense this week if you're the Patriots, take a little bit more chances, and not have to worry about the other team you shouldn't have to worry about the other team taking advantage.
You know, if you punt it away in three plays, you're getting
it back. You can take some chances on offense, and I think if you do that, that's scary. You know, you should be able to do that this week.
I don't know what you're they're going to kill him. Like,
I think 7-3 and outs.
7-3 and outs. 7-3 and outs. That's ridiculous.
That's in a row.
No, they weren't all in a row.
Well, against the Jets, they had 9 in a row.
Yeah, but against this week, it was 7-4 in a row.
That's why I'll be distraught if they don't win. All right.
I don't think you have to worry about being distraught.
Quick over-under game.
So
right?
Gabe is
buying lunch. But I will do the Tebow if
And Gabe will buy lunch if the Patriots win. It's a win-win for him.
He didn't say that, but Brandon is from L.A. or Louisiana. I'm not sure which. But anyway, here's the over-under. Tim Tebow, 60 rushing yards.
Over.
Paul?
I need to do some research on that, but I'll say over. What kind of rushing yards has he been getting every week?
I don't know. He's got like 600 in 8 games, so
yeah,
90. He's averaging 70, 80 a game, I think. Yeah. He's had big games. Like, he has 100-yard, at least 100-yard
games. Okay, then I'll say over.
Gronk, 80 yards.
Over.
Over.
Really? Brady, 290.
Over.
Slight under.
I'm going to say over. Denver defense, 3 sacks.
Under.
Under.
Tim Tebow, 220 passing yards.
Under.
Over.
Over, Paul
Maybe
says.
Over in the comeback effort.
Brady, 3 passing TDs.
Push.
Yeah, sounds right.
Patriots defense, 2 turnovers.
Over.
I'll say push.
That's a tough one, though. He's a punani. He doesn't throw the ball.
He won't try to throw it, you know, anywhere.
Denver, 20 points.
Under.
Under.
Patriots, 1.5 offensive turnovers.
Under.
Under.
And Denver, 150 total rushing yards.
Under.
Under.
Say over. And finally, do you think Bill Belichick will visit Ohio State now that Urban Meyer is the head coach?
His daughter works there, so yes.
Yes.
She's the assistant women's lacrosse coach. But yes and yes, I think he would have with Urban there probably too. Although it's a little different because it's not doesn't really fall in line with his spring training, although Tony La Russa's out now. It was easy that Florida was in Florida and coincided with spring training for a nice little vacay.
Right.
Ohio, not really a vacay in
But like you said,
February.
He has reason to go there.
Right.
Anyway.
So now he extends it by 2 days and works out all their players. Is he going to keep Vrabel on? Has he announced that yet?
I thought that. I had talked to our good buddy in Ohio State expert, Bert Breer, about that, and he was under the impression that that had been worked out, that he would be staying.
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel might want to say, thank you, Bill Belichick, for keeping me on board.
I think Luke Fickell might stay, too.
Ooh, that's weird.
I'm not positive on that.
Now, that's a little weird.
508-298-0398 is the East Hickok Hotline. He's nothing if not persistent. Tim from Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred, you honor me. Look, I got a comment about Denver, but first, and in all, I joke around a lot, but I actually do have a serious moment. And I want to apologize for yesterday. I was not intimating that I wanted Aaron Rodgers hurt. I was relaying a conversation me and my friends were having with a hypothetical situation, in that it may have appeared while I was talking about his side that I was intimating that to happen. I want to first apologize to Fred Kirsch. I want to apologize to Mr. Robert Kraft, Mr. Jonathan Kraft, and President Obama for failing to meet up to the standards that you have set. It's actually unusual because I am a very big fan of Aaron Rodgers, unlike certain other people currently, I think, laughing in the background.
And whoa.
That would be Andy.
I like Aaron Rodgers. I don't like his comportment, but as a player, I don't know how you can not like him.
So, well,
you got a problem with everybody, don't you?
No.
Yes.
Bo Jackson was fine.
Well, I just want to apologize to everybody out there who heard that. And now, you know, everybody except Andy. I will not apologize to Andy Hart. But that's just out of principle. Now, getting on to the Denver game, I think this week will be a good it will end well for the Patriots, and I don't think that a loss to Denver will hurt that much, and I'll tell you why. here's how I see the game going. I actually think Denver has a really good defense. I think what they'll do is they'll put Bailey on Welker, and that'll take him away, and I think they'll bracket Gronk, and with no other real threats out there, because Hernandez is inconsistent, and Branch, he's inconsistent, I think that it'll be a close game, but I think the Patriots will manage to get 14 points going into the fourth quarter. I think Gronk will score, and either Hernandez or Branch will score. I think Tim Tebow will probably get one touchdown in three quarters and have one of those three for 15 games. The touchdown will be thrown on McCourty, of course. And then we'll get to the final quarter, and he'll be like three for 15, and then all of a sudden, with 2 minutes to go, Belichick will switch to the prevent defense, and Tim Tebow will march down the field, score a touchdown. The game will go into overtime. Denver will win the toss. They'll have a pretty good run back. Tebow would lead the offense about 10 yards.
I want you to listen to me.
Denver will kick the game-winning field goal and win the game. But in a upside, the Jets will lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. Thus, the New England Patriots will clinch the AFC East. So I look forward to your comments on that. And I'm not promising, but I might have another poem for you guys on the pregame show.
Okay. I look forward
That's
to
great.
It.
That's great. Thanks, Bye. Tim.
And I might read it.
I hope Tim
Oh, you'll
wrong.
Read it because I'm going to mock it.
I hope Tim is wrong.
I know, predicting the Patriots to lose.
In overtime, yeah.
Not like him.
I mean, if that happens, then, I mean.
Oh, I'm already buying into there's something weird with Tebow.
No, if the Patriots are going to lose, that's the way they're going to lose. A low-scoring, tight game, that's the way Tebow's been winning.
Yeah.
So if you think the Patriots are going to lose, that's got to be to me, that's the most likely scenario.
The greater miracle would probably be he throws for 450 and wins a 45-42 shootout.
Yeah, if they beat the Patriots 31-28, not only am I going to be wrong about Tebow, not only is the Tebow thing just completely and utterly legitimate, the Patriots have much bigger problems than even we think they have now.
Well, they have big problems.
No, but they're much bigger than I would think if they can't contain him.
If you're interested,
everybody else that's played him has contained him.
If you're interested, Tebow is on the NFL Network right now in the replay and mic'd up for the Bears game from last week, which he apparently, after Thomas dropped a touchdown, said, don't worry, you'll catch the game winner.
Steve from Canada writes in. He says, I was recently wondering who the PFW staff would be if you guys ran the Patriots front office. Fred would obviously be Mr. Kraft. He is the boss numero uno, the star that stirs the drink. He has good vision but lets his staff do the real work, starting with his right-hand man, Paul, who would be Coach Bill Belichick. He has a decent eye for talent but loves versatile players. He's been around a long time, not going anywhere anytime soon, doesn't consider the fans' opinions when making decisions, and doesn't hesitate to rip reporters who he doesn't respect. Let's face it, he's the only Hall of Famer on the staff. Andy is general manager Bill Belichick, great eye for talent in the draft, but can fall in love with a player, ignoring the advice of his scouts. He knows what he knows, and even if the scouting department has a better option, he certainly will not listen to those idiots, which brings me to Eric, the scouting department. Not as respected as the two Bills by the general public, he does have a good eye for talent, and he prepares for the draft diligently, despite being regularly ignored. Plenty of evidence that he knows players in the draft, but even when he picks them, GM Bill, Andy Belichick, gets the credit. Andy is Mr. Draft, after all. And finally, Kevin is the equipment manager. He is responsible for keeping the equipment functioning and available for the staff, does a passable job, and sometimes is recognized by other staffers. However, the bottom line is you could plug any monkey into his position, and things would function pretty much the same. Wow. So, there you go.
Now, Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
It was okay. I think it kind of ran out of gas when it said Eric really knows what he's talking about, just no one listens. He doesn't really know what he's talking about.
I originally was, as flattering as it was to me, I was originally going to say that Andy should be Belichick because he comes up with, you know, it's not want to, it's can't, you know, in other coach speak.
And you should be Dante.
Let's go back to the phones, 508-298-0398. Ann from Colorado Springs probably has some information for us. Hey, Ann.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Getting excited.
Okay.
I can't believe it's right around the corner.
Did you buy a new outfit?
No, that's the bad luck. I'm wearing my same Brady shirt.
Okay.
Name everything.
See,
nobody
they wouldn't
knows,
know anything, and
up.
They don't know anything about being a fan and what it's like to have lucky clothes. They, you know, Fred's been spoiled for 20 years now. He's watched every game from the press box. He doesn't know what you're talking about.
What are no, you talking about? I wear the same underwear every Sunday.
Same.
Yeah, but not because of luck.
But great news on the weather, guys.
Yeah.
We are going to have fabulous weather.
I love
fabulous,
it.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. They're saying it's going to be in the mid-50s on Sunday.
50s now? I thought it was 40s. That's awesome.
Oh, I'm looking at the thing right now, and it says mostly sunny. And, of course, you know, 2 hours ago it said sunny. Now it's saying mostly sunny. But right now it says 52 on the... On
oh, you're
the
in a different time zone, though, so you got to take off 10 degrees.
Oh, well,
so
you know,
when it's 52 there, it's 42 here.
52 will feel like 62.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, no, yeah,
that's awesome. There is no precipitation in the forecast. That's great.
Yes, I am so psyched because we're supposed to get snow on Monday.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. I hope that doesn't travel in a little faster than it's predicted.
No. I've got my little, you know, whammo things going out there.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but okay.
Well, I'm putting a spell.
Oh, that. Okay.
I talked on John Rook's show the other day.
Yep.
And I sort of screwed up. In my head, I knew I was going to say Kate Mullins was 7 to 10, you know, for 3 hours. And I said to them, oh, we're doing Kate Mullins 7 to 3. So I've had people calling. We're starting at 7 a.m. in the morning. It's like, no.
Yeah, so it starts at 7 p.m.
Yeah, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay, at Kate Mullins. So I'll be there. I have to go. I'm meeting somebody at 4 first in down the street from the hotel, but then as soon as that's done, I'm going to come over.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Do you guys have any questions for me?
No.
I
think we're all set. What's the address of Kate Mullins? Just throw that out there.
Okay, hang on a second. Let me go look at my jazz. Hang on a sec. Okay. 1550 Court Place, Denver, 80202.
1550 Court Place, Denver. And is that like right
Denver.
Downtown?
Denver.
Yeah, it's okay. Like on the corner. It's on the end of the 16th Street Mall.
Okay. I know that well.
Yeah, on the very first floor of the Sheraton. I don't think people are going to have a hard time finding it.
Okay, great. No, I will be there with bells on.
Good boy.
Okay.
I'm getting so excited.
All right.
See you, Ann. Okay. Thanks, Ann. Have a good time.
All right. That's Ann from the Pikes Peak Pats fan club.
Well done, Fred.
Colorado Springs.
Say it again.
But they draw from fans all over Colorado.
Sounds like a good time. You guys are going to have a good time. Eric's going with you? I know.
I doubt it. He's probably,
so you'll really have a good time.
Yeah.
He's probably got
if you
something.
Can ditch him.
No, as is usually the case, Andy beat me to it.
He's disappointed because he wanted to go to the Mint, and that's closed on the weekend. And he wanted to go to the Capitol Rotunda because there's great views up top, and that's closed on the weekend. So he's very upset.
Well, he's got, you know, his little diary he's got to do, his postcard from the road.
He'll find something. You this know? Would be a great postcard. What better way than hang out with a couple hundred Patriots fans and Ann and everybody? And
right. Now, this is why, you know, for all our bluster, Andy and I are frauds, because we would very much enjoy that kind of a party. We always have.
I enjoyed it last time. What better place can you have a woman tell you, I just want to strangle you, and then by the end of the night, you're not as bad as you are on the radio.
Right. And can I get you a beer?
Right.
Right.
That's Paul's really, favorite
beauty.
Part.
I really
that
hate,
is Paul's
I really hate you on the radio. Can I get you a beer?
Hey, we, the guy who measures trees? We had a fun time out there last time.
Yeah.
Remember?
We sure did.
I liked it. I'm a man of the people.
Speaking about peeps, Fred, did you see the clip that Tracy put up, Tracy in Vegas?
Let's see.
With the Chewbacca?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you should take a look at that. It's right up your alley.
I did not see that.
I did not see that. Okay, it means you did.
Robin, New Jersey, has a quick one. She wants to know if someone can give Lindsay Petrucci a new opening line.
Hello, everyone.
So maybe somebody can help her with that.
Well, I'd like to see Lindsay Petrucci's video of her karaokeing, apparently, on the road in Washington. I was promised that video, and I've still yet to see it. So if anybody has that, including Brian Lowe, I want to see Lindsay Petrucci doing her Carrie Underwood karaoke.
All right. Alex.
Hauling over there.
Alex.
Ketchup.
Alex from Philly writes in, and I'll read this while Kevin is distributing lunch. He says, first, I want to agree with Paul. I think that Tebow's religious attitude is genuine. I personally blame the media for overhyping Tebow's religious practices. They make it seem like Tebow is the only NFL player who ever believed in God.
Yes, we get it, NFL Network. Christianity starts and ends with Tebow. On that note, I hate Tim Tebow. And if he wins on Sunday, my hate will turn into contempt, and contempt will turn into loathing, and loathing will turn into animosity, and animosity will turn into spite. I hate Tebow because he is a terrible quarterback, but everyone still thinks he's great, including himself. After watching some of Tebow's games, I find it bizarre how they all seem to follow the same script. Tebow stinks the first three quarters, but the D keeps it close, and in the fourth quarter, Tebow pulls a rabbit out of his ass and comes up with the victory. I would like to think that won't happen with us and that the Pats will be able to shut Tebow down, but the sad reality is that with this defense, Tebow will most likely throw for 300 yards on 9 of 33 passing against this secondary. I know Bill has been tinkering and reshuffling trying to find the right mix on defense, but it is not working. Sorry, Bill, different Jags, same results. Our only hope is if this offense starts fast and never looks back and dares Tebow to call on his divine intervention in the fourth when he's down 59-0. If the game is still tight in the fourth, start saying your prayers. To get us ready for this epic battle of good versus evil, creation versus evolution, a battle in which the outcome will tell us the very meaning of life, I would like to quote a Bible verse from Fred's Book of Patriot 2:23-4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of Denver, I fear no fourth quarter comeback, for Brady art with me, thy Welker and thy Gronk, they score for me. All right, guys, keep up the great work and go Pats. I like it. Bible phrases, I like it. I want more of those. So, and then Brian writes, and he says he's got the last thought on Tebow. I love these people who... It's going to close on my thought.
Well, you need to stop now because I've spoken. It's kind of like the Globe when they write a story.
Now that I'm done chewing, I want to address just the last email real quick. If Dan Orlovsky was able to scare you with a fourth quarter comeback, I won't eliminate Tebow doing it. Even if it's what I expect in a large deficit, you know, if it's 31-10, 31-7, I can't totally eliminate that he'll get hot in the fourth quarter enough to make it a game because he does play better and more accurate passer in the fourth quarter, and if Dan Orlovsky can do it and score three touchdowns, then anybody can.
Well, the reason I think the over-under was like 2-something, and I picked the overs because I think they're going to get blown out, and he's going to have to throw, and he will complete passes.
But if they kick an onside kick with the game on the line, that's not the situation the Patriots want to be in going against Tebow in this streak.
No, I don't think it'll be that close. I don't think that'll be that close.
Brian,
I know your point, though.
Brian's last word is, Brian in Rothesay. I guess that's probably in the UK. But he says, if Tebow was banging Lindsey Vonn, props. But
I don't care for her. Overrated.
He would be just as big a fraud with religion as he is a quarterback. So keep up the good work.
So if that's proven fact, how many? What percentage of his followers will he lose, Fred?
I think a lot. You know?
Why?
Because when you're that out there with who you are, and then you're not that person.
They do it all the time.
Well, but to me,
whether it's priests, look, whether it's who's the governor of South Carolina,
look how
who
many
was
followers the Catholic Church lost as a result.
I think some of them will still say, "Oh, you know."
Some
whatever.
Of them will, yeah. But I, for one, will be very disappointed.
Yeah, but you're not even a religious follower of
him. No, but I'm into authentic people, and I think he is one. I
Your
thought,
track record shows.
I thought with, Tiger Woods was. I thought Lance Armstrong was, and I was very disappointed.
Are you prepared?
No,
to
I'm
be
not.
Disappointed again?
Yeah, I am now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, mentally I am.
But I was a Tiger Woods fan, the golfer. But when Andy used to call him a fraud, I very rarely argued with him that strongly about all that stuff. You were really surprised to find out that he wasn't this perfect robot of a person?
I was surprised to...
I didn't know he was banging cocktail waitresses 12 at a time.
Right,
right. You were you surprised to find out that he wasn't the perfect person that he was?
Yeah,
you
know, I
mean, when he's... There was another today, Junior.
Tim on line one.
When his father died and he decided that he wasn't going to play in a tournament and, like, 48 hours later, he was, like, bungee cording off of, like, the coast of Australia somewhere or whatever. I forget where he went before Brooklyn Matt, you know, calls me on the exact thing that he was doing. But, in other words, he wasn't really grieving his father's
death.
He
was not mourning graveside with his mother.
I mean, well, I don't think that he was...
I didn't know about
that. I think
that.
He was a personal fraud.
Yeah, I never heard that
before. Long before his marriage broke.
Yeah, I never heard that. And people deal with grief different ways. But, they do. But, No, I was surprised that he would treat his wife.
But you know what? But you know what good people don't do, Fred?
What?
Good people don't make a bad shot and start screaming at the gallery, which he did, like, upon entry into the PGA. So it's not like it was a new thing.
No, I know.
Good people don't just fire caddies willy-nilly. He's been through three caddies as a professional golfer.
When I looked at, when I say that Tiger Woods was a genuine person in a different way than Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow's genuineness comes from this whole holy type of living. You know, to me, what I liked about Tiger Woods was, my God, what a competitor. What a perfectionist. What, you know.
Well, that's real.
Yeah. What, you know.
Maybe the only thing that is real.
And, you know, he probably loves his wife and all that stuff. And, you know, it was a big disappointment. You know, he seemed pretty good off, you know, yeah, he was a jerk on the course sometimes. But, you know, it's like McEnroe. Yeah, you chalk that up to just the fiery competitiveness and, you know, all that stuff. So I could live with that. But yeah, this other stuff was crazy.
You know what really got me like that? This is a really odd one. Howard Stern. When Howard Stern broke up with his first wife,
yep,
that I never felt the same about Stern after that.
Yeah, well,
because I thought the whole thing was an act.
Right. Right.
You know.
Right.
You know, can I bang Jenna Jameson? Can I? You know, what celebrity is going to be in here right now that I'm going to?
Well, I'll you know, tell you another guy.
I never looked at the show the same way again.
I'll tell you another guy. You couldn't find a bigger Woody Allen fan than me. But when that whole thing with the adopted daughter, I mean, you look at this guy differently now, you know?
As you should.
Yeah. I mean, and he's still, you know, a genius and all that stuff. But I was never the same toward him after that.
Plus your fondness of Gary Glitter changed.
Well, yes.
But no one could possibly look at Woody Allen the same.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know? So, like, I don't think I went to maybe one or two of his movies after that, and he's made 30, you know? So it was too bad, you know?
All right.
No, you can't.
Where did Kevin go?
He was waiting forever to go to a break, so he finally left to go get the drinks.
Oh, okay.
So you got to keep reading.
I have no problem with that. Let's see. Who is this? Tom from Waterbury, Connecticut. Let's see.
They have a mint that Eric can go to.
Oh, he's got an MP3 that he sent in. It represents what I think Tim Tebow's lunatic fans hear when they watch him play. You can assign the cast, and I hope you enjoy. P.S. Tebow mania equals lunacy. So
Fred's the head lunatic.
Maybe after screening that, we can play that when he gets.
Do you know
that
he's currently third in the Pro Bowl voting?
Yes.
Well, that's lunacy.
But you know what? It's really not. Give it some thought.
What?
Brady, Roethlisberger. Are you one and two? Right?
But I'd put Rivers ahead of him.
No way.
I wouldn't.
Are you kidding
me? So much of it is based on, you know.
But Schaub is hurt.
Oh, I know, but.
But so much of it is based on reputation, as we know.
No, but I'm talking about performance.
But Schaub's on the ballot.
No,
so he should be ahead of him in the voting.
No, but I understand that. But when the balloting started, he may have been hurt already.
I don't care.
You know, who knows? I mean, he might have lost. I'm just saying.
I don't think so. Plus, what did he do? He played half a season.
Well, here's
what has Tebow done? He's played half a season.
I'm not surprised that Tebow's third.
But I'm just saying he can't go, is what I'm saying. Like, when I originally saw that yesterday, I was like, you got to be kidding me. This guy's third in the Pro Bowl balloting. And then I started thinking about it. Yeah, Schaub is the guy. I mean, those are the top three this year, the top three AFC quarterbacks. Brady, Roethlisberger, Schaub.
Andy Dalton hasn't done more? I know he throws interceptions, but that's because he throws balls.
Close. Andy Dalton was the one I brought up Dalton on the radio yesterday.
Hasselbeck in Tennessee.
He's been terrible.
Worse than Tebow?
Well, certainly
not. Less than 50% of his passes completed?
Flacco?
I also brought up Flacco when I got yelled at by Tony Mazur.
I think there's about 20 quarterbacks.
As my friends just emailed me with the high-pitched squeal, they just asked me if my eardrums broke when I brought up Flacco.
Here's the question. If a guy is on IR, is he ineligible for the Pro Bowl? If a guy was on IR?
Oh.
To go?
I don't think he can play.
Well, he could get voted, but he can't play,
can't
obviously.
Play? Is that a rule? A lot of guys.
No, it's not. Probably not a rule, Fred, but why would you be on IR and go and play in the Pro Bowl?
Because a lot of guys get put on IR because, you know, they're going to be ready later, but we can't wait. We need the roster spot.
Not generally quarterbacks.
Right.
No, I'm just saying any guy.
Yeah, for half a season, I could find eight guys. I'd give Fitzpatrick. He's getting
Fitzpatrick.
Tebow is
getting
the. For the half year, I think he did.
He had some games that were good, but then he's been terrible lately.
Tebow has been terrible in every game he's ever played.
But he hasn't cost his team games the way that some of those... Philip Rivers has been costing his team games. Ryan Fitzpatrick was costing team games.
Philip Rivers is the one guy I can't argue for. But excuse me.
Dalton I could argue for, and Flacco I could argue for.
Dalton, Schaub, there's endless guys. I would even put Sanchez ahead of him. I think Tebow has been terrible for a half a season. So I don't even know how you... anything. It's a popularity vote. That's all it is.
Of course it is. All right, let's take a break. We got a lot of emails, and we'll get to them right after this.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
I couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to back to PFW in Progress. Speaking of Patriot Place, I guess the crew of All Access.
Wait, who talked about Patriot Place?
If you listen to the advertisements, you would know.
Oh.
Idiot.
I didn't know we had. It's so bad.
I guess the All Access crew.
In his
brought,
defense, he's yet to yell at you today.
The All Access crew brought Gronk to Patriot Place yesterday and did some Christmas shopping with him, or holiday shopping, I should say.
And so that'll be on All Access as well as him telling what the spike means to him.
Not Brandon Spikes.
Now, did he go to
Better
Victoria's
Secret?
Oh, he did. Did he find out her secret?
But he thought it was Victoria's Secret. So.
Ba-dum-bum.
All right. So that's on All Access tomorrow night. You can check out a heavy dose of Rob Gronkowski.
And a heavy dose of Paul Perillo with an emphasis on the heavy. And Patriots.com and thereafter.
Yes. Bob Doyle, the editor of All Access, just came in to tell us all that. That's why I announced it.
More importantly, tonight, 7:30 Comcast, Patriots Football Weekly TV, where Paul Perillo has a one-on-one interview with Fletch Lives,
now,
Dane Fletcher.
Now, do you get a feeling that this is going to be a good show? I mean, I know we were all there when we taped it, but once it's done, do you think this is going to be one of our better shows?
No.
No? You didn't get the feeling?
I didn't really seem any different than any other show.
Oh, there was some things different.
Why are you yelling at me?
Don't you remember?
Paul was going to respond. Now he's afraid.
We have a new director, and
he was there last week.
No, but this is his first opportunity to change some things.
We reshot the read and react with the poll and everything.
Thank you.
You're right. We did do a little bit different.
Exactly.
I think that's a minor change.
I'm trying to give some props to Tarjan Pan.
We are a ratings machine, so regardless of who's along for the ride, we're going to keep churning out the ratings. We are. Just look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
But it's a great interview with Paul Perillo.
Yeah, let's lower expectations on that, huh?
No, I've heard that you're one of the great interviewers. Somebody in the PR department actually told me Paul does a great job of loosening the player up and getting more out of them.
What does he do, tickle him between the legs?
I give him a tickle me
between
Elmo.
Between the legs, he said.
I don't know why you got to take it to such a filthy place.
Wow.
All right. Anthony writes in from Toronto. Hey, guys, I'd like to talk about the connection of Belichick to Tebow. Two words, Florida Gators. We all know about the love between Belichick and Urban Meyer. Three players in 2010 from Florida ironically got drafted by the Pats. Another player from 2010 that got drafted from Florida was Tim Tebow. Belichick will shut him down. He knows how to stop him. It will be one of those games we look back and say, wow, I can't believe we actually got a bit worried. And he said, Jeff from Vegas better pick the Patriots.
Who were the three players? Spikes, Hernandez, and who's the other?
Cunningham.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot about him.
Out of sight, out of mind.
And he went to dinner in the North End with Tim Tebow.
Yeah, what, Fresca or something? Trusca?
I don't know.
Fresca?
Tresca's sounds right. Yeah.
Isn't that Ray Bourque's place?
I think so.
It might be where they all go, you know.
When they want to stage a dinner with a guy. Still ridiculous. Never before have we seen anything, and yet on this one, Tim Tebow's out in the street with a football signing autographs and throwing passes.
Norman says, if Andy's claim that Tebow was chasing a married woman is true, then that would completely destroy Tebow's Christian testimony. Where is this claim coming from?
Deadspin.
It is on Deadspin.com. But...
and is apparently rampant in the Denver area. I mean, just she addressed it in a column she does, so clearly... it's out there in Denver. Everybody's talking,
denying
speculating.
It.
Yeah, she denied it. Like, you know, Bill Clinton did and everybody else who's ever done anything
true,
wrong did.
True, true,
deny, deny, deny.
Right.
Oh, you meant sex. I thought you meant something else.
So that would be two strikes.
I'm going to say this again.
Coveting another man's
wife. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
You even beat on the desk.
Right.
You'd beat something else.
Hey,
trouble.
Kevin, did you listen to this MP3 that sent in?
No, but I will.
Yeah, just I don't want to. You know,
I would have bet my mortgage that the answer was no to that question. Show prep? What show prep?
Let's see. Nate from Idaho, what are the chances of you signing on Lindsay Petrucci on the show? She was on the show early this season. I thought she added tremendous diversity to the Sausage Fest. She's smart, witty, and can dish it out as well as you guys. Doesn't hurt having a sexy voice on either.
The show where she said Woodhead was special and Bush was run of the mill.
Just saying it's worth consideration. It would separate you guys from other shows that are too heavy on testosterone, or at least have her come on for 30 minutes a show. Well, she's invited anytime she wants.
She is. She has come on this show anytime she wants.
Andy, stop. She has an open invitation.
What? You just said the same thing.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
I've told you this many times in the last couple
of
weeks.
What you say?
It's a tonality issue with you.
I would like her to come on the show, though, to discuss the karaokeing incident.
You see, now that was
she
much
made
different.
Her debut. Was it her debut?
I don't know.
Traveling with the team and, you know, doing post. B-Lo right. sat this trip out, and right. she was in Washington.
I guess he called like every 5 minutes to either Eric or her. No. Oh, what was the movie on the bus? Oh, what's going on in the plane? They were making fun of him because like he couldn't.
B-Lo was getting made fun of.
Yeah,
I don't.
Why does he care what the movie on the bus
because
was?
Because this is part of his routine, and he couldn't, you know, do a weekend without knowing what was going on.
He's an idiot.
So. I would have thought getting married might have taken a little that away. Evidently not.
And apparently, Eric had a very difficult time in the hotel at night.
Oh, you didn't even tell the best story.
He had a roommate that he
who
just,
was his roommate.
I don't want to say, but. I guess the person snored a lot, and Eric said he didn't
Tom
sleep
Casale?
A wink. He didn't sleep a wink
oh,
all night.
The guy whose name we don't say.
So, and usually his roommate is B-Lo. So this was a very disruptive trip for both of them.
Oh, so he was just tell the name?
He was just disappointed because he figured because B-Lo wasn't traveling, and that's normally his roommate, that
he'd be with Lindsay.
Yeah.
And they would only need one bed.
Lindsay would be his roommate.
And he would go five hole.
What?
Again, it's
what
just,
are you doing?
But more importantly,
you're insane.
You left out the
you
story.
Are insane.
You left out the story, and maybe you're not even
what's
aware
the story?
Of it. Did you know who was in the hotel lobby?
George Marison?
Yeah. And Eric met him, and the Romanian roller met him, and Danny Woodhead met him. And can you picture Danny Woodhead standing?
Well, they had a
George
picture. I saw the picture.
That's
it was,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I was going to put it in first down.
Yeah. That's just... the greatest story ever. George Marison is like a nobody who's a somebody. He's one of those guys that I would want his autograph. I'd rather have his than, like, Jordan, because he's just like this quirky. Do you remember the commercial with the piñata for ESPN, and he's hitting well above the piñata because it's, like, down at his waist?
Right.
I mean, he's just one of those quirky figures from sports history. And I guess he and Mesko loves him. He watched his movie, My Giant, or whatever the movie is.
He says
is,
he watched
like,
it, like, 20 times.
What a weirdo. Another side question. Is Mesko famous in Romania? Like, is he big time?
Oh, I don't know. Why?
I've been meaning to ask him. I just wonder. Cause like,
well, there is a Romanian Patriots fan club. There sure as hell is.
Hungarian or Romanian?
Oh. It might be Hungarian.
I thought it was
Hungarian.
Yeah,
you might be right.
There may be both, but yeah. I thought it was Hungarian.
U.S. and A. Greatest country in the world.
Chad writes in, enough from the morons who keep repeating that the offense is carrying the defense in Broncos land. Offense scores, you fools. Football equals quarterback. Your quarterback can deliver, you're going down. I think he means if he can't. We saw in 2000 when Bledsoe sucked. Enough with Tebow. The guy sucks. He can't throw. He had to throw that Bledsoe thing in there.
Wow, he's comparing Tebow to Bledsoe.
He can't throw. He's a first rounder. And
who's
he's
saying that the Denver offense is carrying the defense?
I don't know. He's a first rounder.
By all means, continue then.
He's a first rounder and he's a backwards sectarian. And enough with the Protestant showcasing and thank the Lord, it's just dog poop. Catapult that guy into the fractal universes or send him off with Sarah Palin to help her sell Going Rogue. I don't want to hear about Denver's frightening pass rushers. Tom Brady was 24 years old when he drove the team to win our first ever Super Bowl against the best defense in the league. What? With 130 on the clock.
How about French saying what?
They're 24th in points allowed. Welker and Gronk will destroy them. Olivier, the French guy, sucks. Final score, Pats 38, Broncos 9.
Slight update. I believe they're 22nd now in points allowed after last.
Starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.
Just for clarity purposes, I picked 34 to 10. This guy's picking 38 to 9. Yeah, we're way apart in our views.
Well, for clarity purposes, I'm going to need you to go through that entire email and, you know, pick out all the things that are wrong.
I just want to know who says the Denver offense is carrying the defense.
I just thought it was a low blow to compare Tebow to Bledsoe. I mean, one guy had like 40,000 career passing yards. One's got like 5.
Yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're done now, Fred. It's time for you to read an email.
Let's see. Henry from Montana. The Patriots have made a tradition of throwing the celebrations players do back at them. Good examples would be celebrating with lights out after sacking Phillip Rivers or flying around like a jet after scoring a touchdown in New York.
Or an eagle.
Do you think we can expect any Tebowing gestures after the sack the QB after they sacked the QB in Denver this weekend?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Say the only person who might, actually two people, they're both tight ends. Aaron Hernandez, because he's Tebow's boy and maybe he could get away with it.
Be funny.
And Gronk, because he's just Gronk.
See, I think the biggest candidate to me for that would be Branch. And I don't...
Well, he'd have to score.
Yeah, I don't see him scoring.
But you won't see it from any defensive players.
But don't you think Branch is very big on that kind of stuff?
Yeah, he won't do it this week.
I mean, Gronk and Hernandez celebrate their touchdowns, but they tend to have a little bit of a routine that they do.
But Branch is smart, and he knows that Bill and Tebow are a thing. I don't think he'd do it.
And I think if you're going to see it, you would see it on defense. If the defense scores a touchdown, you know, if there was a pick six or something.
Yeah, but who?
I'm just saying, they scored a touchdown on defense last week.
No. I mean, who would do it?
I think Vince Wilfork would do it.
He might. You're right. He could. What are the chances that nose tackle scores two weeks
in a row? I understood. Understood.
Like, I don't see Andre. I think Andre Carter could have two sacks.
Andre Carter,
less
I don't
than
think
zero
do
chance.
I don't think
do
Andre
it.
Carter would do it. I agree with you.
But
I could see a guy like Vince doing it.
I could see Kyle Love doing it.
I could see a guy like Kyle Arrington doing it.
Yeah. I think it's very unlikely. Very unlikely.
Yeah, that's different. It's not. That's really not a celebration dance for him. That's, he's praying.
Right. And I think a lot of these guys are Christian, and you're mocking Christianity.
Yeah.
And I don't think they really want to be involved in that.
Yeah, I don't think they will. Paul writes in, how many
Detroit
points
Detroit did it, right?
Yeah. Did they?
Detroit does a lot of things. Yeah. I'm not sure other teams want to
follow. That's for sure.
How many points would Denver have to score to make you nervous about the outcome of the game? For me, anything over 20.
20. If they get to 20, I would be nervous.
Well, but what do the Patriots have?
But
if it's 45 to 20, I'm not nervous. I need to know how many Patriots points there are.
You know, this is your fault. No, again, I'm going to absolve him right now because this is the kind of thing that you've taught us to do.
If right now you're saying, if somebody told me right now, without knowing what the Patriots are going to score, Denver's going to score
you,
over
Fred.
20 points, I'm nervous.
I'm not.
I would be nervous.
Because I'll be stunned if they don't score 30.
Right, but that,
so
now it's
by
close.
Two scores.
So I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah, now
it's close.
You could be within 10.
Well, did they score,
I don't think it's going to be
close. 20 in the second quarter or the last minute, like Orlovsky.
Again, you're doing the Fred thing where you need more information for everything.
Right.
Just in general.
Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan and Harriet's on the phone. Hey, Dan.
Gentlemen.
What's up, bitch?
At the risk of getting dropped, I just want to say it's an honor to be on the air with you guys.
You won't get dropped because we know you're mocking another caller, and we enjoy that.
Okay. But I'm really excited about that Gronkowski Christmas shopping thing. I can just picture, you know, a bunch of cases of Monster Energy drinks, airsoft guns, and pirate hats.
That's true. There is a GNC. I don't know if he can get the airsoft. Oh, yeah, Bass Pro. If he heads over there, he could probably
get guns. Well, you know, it's so funny because I was at Patriot Place last night. I had to pick up some protein stuff for my kid. So I went into GNC, and I guess that had just happened. And the guy, Rob Gronkowski was just out here shopping. I'm like, oh, really? He goes, yeah, you know, he was probably sent up here to do that for publicity, you know. I'm like, oh, okay. He didn't know who I was, obviously. But
didn't I tell you to not buy stuff at GNC? It's too expensive.
But it's order convenient. It.
See, that's typical of a rich person. I could save about 50 bucks here, but it's convenient, so I'll just spend the 50 bucks. Well, that's how you know you're rich.
And it's in Patriot Place.
The thing was 50 bucks, so if I can save 50 bucks, I like it.
You could save a good 20-25%, I guarantee it.
Good deal.
Okay, sorry. But, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about something that happened yesterday that I thought was funny, and then I'm going to give my Tebow point of the season, unless, of course, they play again in the playoffs. But did anybody notice, I think it was when Andy was having that bout with Anthony and Naples or whatever.
Yeah, I
Andy's
have
had bouts
with
everybody.
People.
Yeah.
Well, did anybody notice what Fred was saying in the background? Because I found it hilarious. What did
he say?
He kept going, you know, good Anthony, good. He sounded like the Emperor from Star Wars. I half expected him to go, now strike him down and take his place on my show.
Good.
Fred fancies himself something like that.
Now he's giving you a good.
It was very humorous, but yeah. But on to my Tebow point. This actually came to me last Friday when I was rewatching The Departed with a lady friend. You know, like Martin Sheen's character. He's the head of like the investigators. He says something "We deal in deception, but we do not deal in self-deception." And that made me think a lot of the Denver situation right now, because I get the idea that basically they're deceiving the league right now into believing that they can win consistently with a style that hasn't won in a very long time. But if next year rolls around and they're in a position where they can draft a legitimate passer that's ready to throw now, and they don't go with him, and they decide we're going to stick with Tebow and side with the fans, I think now you're getting into a case where you're self-deceiving, where you know you can improve your team now, but you're choosing not to.
No, and you're absolutely right, Dan, but I still think it's a tough situation for them. And I know, and I agree with Paul, you can't make decisions based on what you think the fans want, because then you'll end up with the fans. But you see, still, if they make this move before Tebow completely fails, they're going to hear it from the fans.
And that's why it's hard to draft a guy. You could bring in a veteran and say, he's here to help Tim grow. I don't even have a name in mind, but a proven veteran, somebody who you know can start in the league. That way you have somebody to go to, and in your mind you're probably saying, I'm probably going to have to go to him in a month.
Right.
But you're not, there's no luck right behind him where this guy has to play. He's the better young quarterback. But they're in a tough situation.
Question, does anybody run split backs anymore?
Not with much regularity. I mean, the Patriots have used it in training camp and a little bit during the season, but.
Yeah. Palomalo has split hairs.
If Elway and Fox were to come to Tebow and say, you know, we think you can still make plays in our team, but we'd like you to be a running back and have a legitimate passer, I think that's...
Well, that's what Andy was saying.
Yes.
Andy was saying draft Tebow in the third or fourth round and make him this crazy H-back type
of
guy.
But that can't work in Denver now, because he's already been the quarterback who everybody believes in and loves, and Champ Bailey.
But wait a minute. Why couldn't it, though?
I just don't think you can.
I think you might have hit on something. If by some crazy way they could get Griffin or Barkley or Luck, I think fans would accept that if they were going to integrate Tebow into that offense and there was a plan for him.
Don't you think they'd be questioning, Luck throws four incompletions in a row, or Luck throws an interception. Tebow didn't used to throw interceptions, even in the huddle.
But he's,
you know, when they lose a game and they don't get that play they need late.
No.
Man, maybe Tebow should still be the quarterback. He used to get those plays.
Yeah, no, but I think that would be pretty cool, actually.
Well, I think then you've got a situation where, you know, somebody at the higher level has to basically man up and say, look, we think you can definitely make plays for our team. We admire your leadership ability. We want you to be a part of this organization, but not as quarterback. And if you have to play quarterback, you can play it somewhere else.
Yeah, but as Fred said, that's a tough road
but
to go down the more he wins.
Yeah, I'm not sure if every evangelical Christian was a Bronco fan before, but they are now.
That's what I was saying, like, when I was talking about the split back thing, because I thought if you have a legitimate quarterback and then you've got somebody like McGahee on one side and then Tebow to the other side of him, and then you can still run your option pass plays to Tebow, but you've got a legitimate quarterback and a running back on the other side.
Yeah, I don't
speculation.
I mean, I think they could do that. I think you could take Tebow and make him a versatile part of an offense. You could get creative, do a lot of things, but I don't know if you can do that now in Denver. He's already been the guy, and I don't know that you can step back from being the guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if they don't make the move, then, like I said before, they're getting into self-deception.
No, and anyway, they will. We know that. Like
they'll regret it.
People who are objective,
you
know
don't.
That, you know what?
You don't.
Oh, I think that.
You think it's working. You think you're right. You and Felger.
Again,
you're right.
Again, don't move the goalposts on me.
No, but you think I'm not moving the goalposts.
That's his phrase for the last 2 days.
But you know what's funny is Felger kept saying they keep moving the line yesterday.
You two do share a dumbass
well,
brain.
Because he listens to the show.
Now, Paul, you can hold your own on the Felger show.
63% of what Felger talks about he gets from this show.
That's why it's all stupid.
All right, guys, I gotta get going, though. But it's been
all right, Dan had enough of us.
It's rare that the callers hang
up on us. All right, I got class to get to.
So let's see what Rodrigo in Atlanta is saying. Hey, Rodrigo.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Boy. How's lunch?
It was good. I had boneless buffalo, and who sent lunch today?
Did you buy it?
No, not me.
Oh. Okay. It was very good, though. We had we went back to chocolate chip cookies. They sent 24 chocolate chip cookies warm out of the pizza oven. Mm-mm-mm.
Yum. All right, well, first I want to talk about the game.
Would you
I
like
think
to buy
the Patriots will win, of course, definitely, no question about it. I just think that the Broncos' defense isn't as good as Fred thinks they are, and they're just going to blow them out. It's not going to be like a 42-3 game, but maybe a 32-10, something like that. What do you guys think?
I agree.
That's very accurate.
I think the Patriots will be able to move the ball, score points, and put Denver in a position where they – don't want to be and haven't really been with Tebow as their quarterback.
As long as they keep the pass rush off Brady and he doesn't make any of his occasional bad Denver throws that have come up in the past.
That's the formula. The Broncos win if the Patriots offense goes out there and turns the ball over and has a bad day. It can happen. It's happened.
Yeah, exactly. If they start off like the Chiefs game, then I can see Tebow making a play and then keeping them in there. And not be like, Palco and throw interceptions, right?
Right. I think the Patriots can lose this game. I don't think Denver can beat them.
Yeah, that's what I think so, too. And just one more thing. I'm a youth pastor at a church here in Atlanta, and the past week has been very, very interesting. You know, hearing, sports talk show hosts, ESPN all over the country, trying to be, pastors and theologians and try to, talk about on the radio, does God think that, is God a Broncos fan and all that stuff. So it's been very interesting. And just want you guys to tell you guys know that on Friday, I'm actually going to preach to the youth at my church. And what you guys talked about on yesterday when Eric got there, I'm going to actually use that little bit of audio and, just to demonstrate, what people are talking about, Tebow. And for us Christians, especially as youth pastors, he's been, a really good example. And if that rumor is true, it's going to be a big blow once again for Christianity.
Rodrigo, you couldn't have said it better. And, that's one of the problems is someone like you, you're looking for examples for the youth. And right. So now you decide, okay, this is one that I can use and they'll relate to. And then if he destroys it for you, that'll be a real shame. It will be. Yeah.
It will be a blow, even though I do preach that, he's not perfect. And, nitpicking on him a little bit, one of the things that I would like for him to address more, I don't think he has, is that, I'm not perfect, saying I make mistakes too. I haven't really heard him say that.
He actually said that this week in the conference call with New England reporters.
His players make him look good.
Yes, he has said that. And if you need to find that, that's on our website, I believe.
Sure,
right?
It is. So yesterday's phone conference, you can get all of Tebow.
Yeah, audio or text, you could find that if you want to use it.
All right, thanks, guys, and I love the show, and I know it's not in plain sight, but you guys are going to be in the Church of the Living God in Marietta, Georgia.
All right, I love it. I love it.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
I'm going to play a lot of stuff I said.
And definitely not the opening.
That's a really
cool. Have you
ever
had your arm in the vagina of a Jesus?
Now, obviously it'll be a blow to the church if he is proven a fraud.
Yes.
Now, can he do for the positive? Like, could he be responsible for like a 10% jump in the Catholic Church support among youth?
I don't know, Catholic. Well, he's not
Catholic. Well, whatever. Christian. Yeah. Church.
Yes. Yes.
That would be interesting.
And he even said it yesterday, and again, he did not bring it up. The media brought it up on the call yesterday, talking about his religion.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to preface this by he did not bring it up. But once it was brought up, one of the things Tebow said is, I'd like to try to make this stuff cool. I'd like to make being
Well, that's why I think it would be really unfortunate if this turns out to be, you know, the rumor or whatever, or something else like that. Because I have heard a lot of parents calling talk radio this week, especially a lot of mothers that you don't hear calling talk radio very often. Obviously, you don't hear a lot of women, period. But just saying how nice it is to have someone that they can point their children toward. And if it turns out to be a fraud, that would be really... unfortunate. Well, that'd be a bummer.
Yet again, it's a lesson to parents. Watch out.
Watch out and be careful. Know, but it's so much... You know what happens, though, Fred, is it's so much easier to say, well, it's great. You know what? You know, Mr. Smith down the corner, well, he does everything right in life. You should really... It's so much easier to say, well, Tim Tebow, this is a guy on TV that you see every day.
Right.
This guy does everything right.
And but, Tebow, and even know, Tebow try said, to live your I life right. I want to be a role model. I would hope I can
see,
be a
though
robot.
That's the little bit that bothers me a little bit is I think there's a lot of good guys on every NFL team that live their lives the right way.
And
Anthony Pleasant to me was a great guy, but
fantastic.
No one knows it. Or
but
you know what,
Tom Brady. But that's a shame.
I know
it's up
this
to the teams,
the unmarried,
it's up to the league, but to get those stories out
there.
What
has Tom Brady done that it makes him a bad person? I know he has the out of wed
nothing.
But even that
but
in this society,
listening to you would think he's Satan.
No, but I mean,
well, he hasn't talked to me since he did the Rookie Diary back in 2000.
But bottom line, is Tom Brady a good guy? Does he live life the right way?
Absolutely.
So.
He's
me
a guy.
Too.
How's
he any different than Tebow? Except he can throw the football and Tebow can't.
Time out. You don't think people look at him as a role model?
Not the way they do Tim Tebow. Why? Because Tom Brady doesn't say in the Lord the Savior, I'd like to thank you.
No, because Tim Tebow's
for
new.
Reasons, Andy. When
Tom
you're
Brady's been
hard
doing
work,
that for 10 years.
Hard work, team play. You know, a leader.
I don't think so.
I think he, you know.
I don't think all this. I don't think there are a lot of preachers preaching about Tom Brady.
No, of course
I don't
not.
Think there
no,
are a lot of
no, it's a whole different thing.
I don't
thing.
Think there are a lot of mothers calling sports.
Oh, I think there's a lot of. I think there's a lot of mothers who think it.
It's a different role.
That this is a clean cut guy.
Tim
yes,
Tebow is that Christian lifestyle?
Yeah, he's trying to do it
the
through
role
religion.
Of Tom Brady that they're using for is to be a team leader, to be hardworking, to be competitive, to never give up,
to act and do the right thing, say the right thing.
It's a different role, but it's positive. It's still positive.
It's not religious. You're right about that, Andy.
Well,
but that's not what he's going for. He's not.
I thought Brady was pretty religious. I mean, he went to see the Pope.
Andy, that's not what.
Yeah, I don't think he's an overly religious guy.
Oh, I thought he was raised very much.
He was a Catholic.
Yeah, but I don't think he's overtly religious. Do you?
No,
I've never heard him.
No, that's
religion.
Not. That's not what. That's not.
But that doesn't mean he's not overtly religious. I mean, that he's not very religious. He could be the most religious
he
person on the planet.
Overtly means open and out there.
No, I know. But you're saying
I don't think he does that. That's
is
all
he
I'm
religious?
Saying. I have no idea.
No one
I think
knows.
He is, and but because he doesn't preach it to us, he's not. He's looked at differently.
But that doesn't mean it's less or more positive.
I think everybody thinks Tebow is way more positive, and a better guy and
a
better person.
In a different way,
because he tells everybody that he's a better guy.
Yeah. No, see, I, you know, you might think that, and obviously you do.
I do.
But I don't take.
I
it
never
that
heard
way.
Tom Brady said I gave all these laptops to kids in Africa, but I do hear Tim Tebow say. On a game, well, I did just build a hospital in Taiwan.
How did you find out that Tom Brady gave laptops to kids in Africa?
Because we got press releases from the organization.
Yeah, well, if he didn't want you to know, he wouldn't have sent them out.
I still have yet to hear him go post-game interview. Before we talk about the game, I just thank the opportunity
that's not,
I had this week to give laptops.
It's a different type of role model.
Yeah, it's a different mindset. One's all about him, Tim Tebow,
but I think
is just doing stuff.
No, one's all about the Lord.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
See, I don't know that Brady's not all about the Lord. I don't know that.
Again,
I don't think
so. What?
I just don't think they're trying to do the same
thing. I
think
Tim Tebow is put on a pedestal that he doesn't deserve. That's my point. I think there's millions of guys in the NFL that are about the Lord.
You don't think Tom Brady's on a pedestal?
Not the same kind of pedestal. No, not even close.
Yes, it's a different pedestal.
Yes, a different pedestal.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
But not even close. And I think they're comparable human beings. I think they both do a lot for charity. I think they both live their lives a pretty genuine way. I think they're good people. But one is considered a saint and one isn't.
I just don't know where
Tom Brady backlash ever came from.
He's been mocked all along for, you know, having a child out of wedlock and doing all the, like.
Well, that's, you don't think if Tim Tebow has a child out of wedlock, he's going to get mocked for it?
I don't know. I'd like to
probably
see.
Probably more
so. Of course he will be.
I'd like to
more
see.
More so.
Because he's treated as God. I think they would use it
Andy,
as, this is a teaching lesson that great
Christian. Forget the child. If this Lindsey Vaughn thing is true, he's going to get tortured.
As he should.
Absolutely.
Exactly,
but I'm not
Andy.
Sure he will. I think it's there's a fraud.
He's not going to.
Andy, come on.
Wait a minute.
What do you think Debt's been jumped all over it for? They can't wait.
We just had two emailers that emailed in the show in the last half hour that said it'll be really bad.
On a personal level, yes.
Well, that's what it. And then it adds up.
But you don't.
But I'm not sure how it'll be spun.
You don't think there's going to be an enormous backlash against this guy?
I am not sure.
Oh.
Because I think some of it'll be spun as
it's all an individual opinion.
I think some of it'll be spun as this is just proof that even the greatest of Christians have faults.
Well, that's what that's where he should go.
And that's what I think.
Because if he's truly authentic with his religious beliefs, which I think we all agree, well, Fred and I agree.
We think.
Don't lump me in. That's where he should go with that. You know, this is proof that there
that's
is no
his minions.
Right. He'll need to be
there is no Lord and Savior. I mean, you know, like, there's only one Lord and Savior, and it's not Tim Tebow.
Right, right. We're all just men. But no, I think that you are. He's on a very high pedestal.
Yes,
and it's going to be a
and he put himself there.
Very long fall if any of this stuff is true.
If that kind of stuff ends up being true, it's going to be an enormous backlash against him.
I look forward to it.
I mean,
well, I know you do, because you can't wait.
A terrible human being.
You are. You just, I don't think the guy can play quarterback. That's where my vitriol starts and ends.
To me, discussion there.
That Scott Verplank was banging 12 cocktail waitresses, it wouldn't be
Why exactly are you talking about Scott Verplank?
I was thinking of like a decent golfer, but not Tiger Woods. You know what I'm saying? The higher you
are,
the longer you fall.
I thought for sure he was on a TV behind me or something. I had to look around.
You're proud of me because I could pull.
You
Scott
came up
Plank
with one. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly a household name.
Now tell us why.
You have a connection to school with him?
No, I had to go to the University of Tampa.
I knew that he won the NCAA golf thing one year.
Whew. Yeah. Good for you. This has been one of the strangest weeks that we've ever had.
I knew it would be. I like it. It's good stuff.
But is it good? It's strange. I've talked more about religion this week than I ever have in my life.
Well, Mata and Mass,
we're
going to
be played in a church.
Mata says, I've been listening for years. I never miss a show. I work during the day and can't listen live, but I always listen on my iPhone on my drive home off the Patriots app. Keep up the great work. So on to Tim Tebow. I grew up Baptist, and after college, I was a youth pastor in three different Protestant Christian churches for 10 years. I was fired from my last church in Georgia 2.5 years ago because I told the senior pastor, it seems like it seems like you're more interested in building up your own kingdom than the kingdom of God. I worked with him for 6 years in two churches. I was young and dumb and didn't realize that he was a self-absorbed religious weasel that wanted power and attention.
And Tim Tebow.
It is my opinion that between 80 and 90% of North American Protestant churches do not make a positive impact on the world around them. Instead, they come across like my old boss, self-absorbed religious weasels. In my opinion, that's why people don't like Tim Tebow. Tebow represents a religion that a lot of Americans view as a scam. In a lot of cases, it is a scam. That's why he's so polarizing. There was a Yahoo article a couple weeks ago where Kurt Warner, an outspoken Christian, said, "Stop talking and let your teammates do the talking for you." I agree. I agree with Andy. Tim Tebow is a terrible NFL quarterback. On the other hand, if the Tebows beat the Pats on Sunday, I'm going to cry. I'm praying that doesn't happen. God would care less about who wins a football game, but if the Broncos win, they need to get shirts made with 1 Corinthians 1:27 on them. Quote, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." I think you can make anything work for you in the Bible.
Yes, you can. So he's Protestant?
He was. I don't know. It sounds he might not be anymore.
What is Tebow?
Baptist. He's a Baptist, which is Protestant.
Oh, it is. Because I think I'm Protestant.
What are you?
I think I'm Protestant.
You know what denomination?
What does that mean?
Oh, God.
I don't go to church. I was married in a Protestant congregational church.
Okay, so you're not anything, really.
No.
Yeah. You know,
what's that, agnostic?
A lot of people try
Well, no, because I believe in God.
Oh, okay.
That's agnostic.
Well, agnostic. Oh, atheist doesn't believe in God. Agnostic is kind of indifferent, right?
You know. A lot of people try to attribute religion to, like, your nationality or your ethnicity. It's
like
a belief.
Irish Catholic and all that.
Right.
Okay, so I believe in God, so I'm what?
You're not sure of what the answers are, but you believe that there is a God, so you're agnostic.
Yeah, okay.
You're not of one religion. You're open to everything.
Do I have a church?
No. You're open to everything.
Interesting.
Yes.
So, I'm agnostic.
You just found out something about yourself. let's see. Thomas from Waterbury. Question, if Tim Tebow wins 10 games and his record is 10-6, what do you think Denver does with him? And if they do keep him and he makes the playoffs next year, you look at McDaniels differently. And will he get a better chance for a head coach job in future years? That's kind of what we talked about in the beginning of the show. You know,
yeah.
Does this whole thing make McDaniels look better? Because he's
no,
the guy that drafted him.
This isn't the only bad move he made or move.
That was what I said.
I mean, he traded away everybody. Yeah. He made terrible trades up for, didn't he trade up for the tight end and the corner where he sent away future picks? Pretty sure he traded up for a tight end.
No, the Broncos are in a PR pickle, no doubt about it.
But here's the thing,
yes.
and I don't know the answer to this. I'm just kind of thinking out loud. What if this is the beginning of them becoming a good football team? So, in other words, all those moves that Josh McDaniel made, right or wrong, turned out to be, well, this is the nucleus of a pretty good football team, and Tim Tebow is driving it. Does that make McDaniels look a little bit less egomaniacal mad scientist and a little bit more, hey, you know what? The guy knew how to put together a football team. It just took a little while, and we didn't wait long enough for him.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that there's no doubt that Josh McDaniels eventually will be a head coach in this league and be good. He just needed that. He needed to learn from his mistakes.
Because, I mean, the core is not really even his. I mean, there's not a lot there that was his.
But it's not?
I don't think so. Like, Goodman was him.
I said to you, and I don't know.
But like, all the receivers are gone. He had Lloyd and Gaffney. They're gone. It's Decker.
Didn't he draft those guys?
I thought Decker. Was that last year or this year?
I mean, you might be right. And that's why I said I don't know the answer to this.
But like Von Miller.
Von Miller's not, obviously.
And Doomerville preceded him.
Yes.
He's not either.
That is true. And Champ Bailey, obviously.
Right.
So, but I thought the guys like Willis and Decker, that, you know, Eddie Royal, I thought he brought a lot of those guys in.
I don't know.
But you might be right. He might not have brought any of them.
And like McGahee is not him. So
Clady?
I think Clady
preceded him.
I think he was like 3 years.
Well, Eric's here.
So he gets no credit.
Eric's here. We got a couple callers. Let's get those done before we go to Eric and then our picks. Tim's in Kansas City. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred, Paul, Broad. What's going on?
Douche.
Hey, nice.
douche.
I'd like to commit a little calling caller crime and then
love it.
Address the Wilson Fart Index.
Speaking of frauds.
The guy I'd like to call out is that kid Tim in Pensacola. Pisses me off.
Me too.
He, in the words of Alexander the Great, they once captured a kid that was acting like a wuss in battle, and his name was Alexander. And they brought him before Alexander the Great, and he said to them, either change your action or change your name. And I'd like to say the same thing to Tim in Pensacola.
Okay.
He's making us all look bad.
Tim's everywhere. I hate you.
One, let's hit puberty before we call. You know, his voice cracks far too much. The stuff he argues about is insane, and it's every day. I mean, at some point. So, again.
All right.
Change his actions, change his names. I don't care what he does, but I'd like to not hear from him.
Okay. Stay the bleep off your show.
I'd like to not hear from him.
Then, a couple questions. One, with regard to the Wilson Fart Index there, do you honestly think that the Patriots are fifth best? Do you think where would you place them? I saw it this week and I thought, that's interesting, because that might not be a bad spot for them.
Subjective index, where would you put them, Andy?
In that area. I don't think they're a great team when you have a terrible defense.
Number five's not bad.
No, I know, but I think you're middle of the playoff pack. 12 teams make the playoffs.
Right, okay.
You're probably in that 5, 6, 7 range.
Okay.
Now, in a subjective way, if I'm just thinking who's a better team, I'd have to have Pittsburgh ahead of them, because I think Pittsburgh matches up with them and beats them.
I'd have New Orleans ahead of them. I'd have Green Bay ahead of them.
New Orleans, maybe. Green Bay is ahead of them. Baltimore, I would probably put ahead of them just because I think they're a better, well-rounded team, and would seep into my head that Baltimore came here in the postseason and beat you a couple of years.
Sure.
Like, that would be part of my subjective analysis.
And New Orleans, I wouldn't necessarily put ahead of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would
either. I think New Orleans is the Patriots.
Yeah.
You were playing them outside, I'd take my chances.
And in a subjective way, I would not have Houston up there now. I would probably have had Houston up there with Mario Williams and with Matt Schaub and a healthy Andre Johnson and Wade Phillips not dead and all that.
Right.
But the Houston that
and
there is
now. By
the
way, Wade Phillips isn't dead.
He's not really dead. He's on a surgery table. But so I would have the Packers up high, obviously, just like they are. I would have San Francisco They have a great defense, yeah, and you can't overlook that. Baltimore would be above them. Pittsburgh would be above them. And then I'd get into the mix where I'd be saying this is where the Patriots belong, with New Orleans,
it's around five.
Yeah, five, six, seven, somewhere in there.
I thought the same thing. And I think that even looking at it like Baltimore, there's holes there. I mean, I know Paul likes Flacco, but he's not Brady.
Oh, God, no.
They have a lot of other things that the Patriots don't have. So, you know, where do you put the value on it, I guess?
Right.
Yeah, I like Flacco, but he drives me insane.
But the problem is, at least he gives you the chance to be driven insane. The Patriots' flaw, their defense, never drives you insane. They just suck. They don't have these flashes where you go, okay, they just put it together. They're good. They haven't been good since day one, and they're not good now.
Another question for you guys that I had is, when you look at the defense the way we're constituted right now, assuming before Sunday that, you know, Spikes is inactive or not playing, doesn't that present a matchup problem for the Patriots with a guy like Tebow and the option that they play? And what do you think that they can do to the game plan around that?
Well, I don't think it's a terrible matchup for them. I think Fletcher and Mayo and Ninkovich is not a terrible matchup to go against Tebow. He's not a speed burner. He's a guy that runs well and is probably a little faster than he appears to be when you're watching him.
You have to tackle well, and I think those guys do tackle well. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want Ninko out in space too often with him.
Right.
But, you know, I think the other two guys are pretty sure-handed tacklers.
Wouldn't want Spikes in space with him either.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I do agree with Tim that I think Spikes is a guy that, if you could get him back, this would be a good week to have him.
Plus,
all right,
he knows what he's thinking.
Well, plus, I think these are the kinds of this is the kind of offense that you want a college type linebacker, you know. And I think Spikes was a good middle linebacker at Florida. He played this kind of offense a lot.
Yeah.
I think that would be valuable in a game like this.
Every day in practice. Let's quickly go to Greg. Greg, quickly, what do you have?
Hey, how you guys doing? I got to be honest with you. I hate Tebow, and he offends me.
Okay.
I'm actually a Bears fan. I'm in Chicago, but I've always... The Patriots are number two because they're the antithesis of the Bears. They're a good organization. You know, great offense, great quarterback, which is exactly what we've never had. No, that's the truth.
It is the truth. I agree.
You know, it's funny. I listen to you guys sometimes, and, you know, you're moaning and groaning, and I have to chuckle because, you know, I wish we had what you had.
Good. Yeah, well put, Greg.
You know, but here's the deal. I'm Jewish, actually. I will tell you that. See, I don't have a problem with anybody being religious, but, you know, you don't have to go on each. What Tebow said was that, you know, when somebody said to him that, why do you have to do this? He goes, well, you know, I tell him, if you were married, you would tell your wife that you love him every day. And my point is, yeah, but you could do that in your own privacy, your own house. You don't have to go on national TV.
If you scored, Greg, you wouldn't go Barakatai Adonai
Lahainu. No.
I love when Greg goes into Yiddish. But I heard, is it Greg?
Yes.
I heard that comment, and I agree 100% with it.
They're called public displays of affection.
If anyone ever started off one of their things, you know, I mean, not one of their things, every one of their press conferences by saying, I love my wife. I mean, I think that's a little bit silly.
Yeah. And people do it at, like, award shows. And I wouldn't call Tim if he wins a Super Bowl MVP.
That's different.
Just want to thank my wife for being there.
Hey, Andy, how you doing? I love my wife.
Tom Cruise doesn't end every movie with, I love my wife, by the way.
Quickly, Jose from College Park, Maryland. Hey, Jose.
Fraud, you're right. Bad example.
What's going on, guys? I wanted to let you guys know, what do you think about Tim Tebow? I know our pass defense is pretty bad, but what would you think if Tim Tebow would run the ball and, you know, keep Tom Brady, you know, like, off the field? I have a big addiction with, like, the man game. And, yes, last night, out of, like, 15 games, the very last game was the against the Broncos. And Tebow stiff on Gary Guyton. I know it's just a game, but he stiff on Gary Guyton like Darren McFadden did Sergio Brown.
Yeah.
And I want to know what you guys think if, like, you know, that would be a good strategy for the Broncos to, like, pass and run.
Okay, Jose, thanks. I mean, I think they have
Isn't
to
Isn't that run. What they've been doing?
Passing and
well,
running
a lot of
for any
say
offense.
Just
a lot
been,
of people
have
just been running.
I love the people that use Madden as, like, a Ouija board.
Yeah.
You know,
no, but he went to a specific play because Tebow stiff-armed a linebacker who doesn't play for the Patriots.
Yeah, the good news there is Gary Guyton doesn't play.
But a lot of people think that the Broncos should be running Tebow more early. Like, they don't really let him loose until late, and they should run more plays with him early.
No, but throwing.
No. Running too.
He runs the whole game. People think that he should be. They want to take the shackles off him.
I've heard that too.
Yeah,
I've heard that too. But more.
And I think they do need to do that this week, because if they expect to run Wildcat stuff for three quarters, they're going to be behind. As I said, 27-3.
If he throws, there's at least a 50-50 chance he's going to complete a lot of passes, because this defense is terrible and he completes 50% of his passes. There's also a chance he could have a great day where he's, for some reason, more accurate than normal.
All of a sudden, he's up around 60 because they can score.
He's not going to have tight windows to throw in. We know that. There's never a tight window that an opposing quarterback has to throw in.
Eric is back from practice. What's going on?
Same as yesterday, Fred. Bad news for Chung. He's not out there. Neither is Vollmer. They're outside. In shells again up on the training camp field.
Spike's still out there?
Yeah.
In shells?
Yeah. As he has been.
All right.
Kevin tells me that Fox 25.
Why was he annoyed when I asked that? Why are you annoyed that I asked this, Spike?
I don't know. Why'd you ask it? I would have been annoyed too.
I just want to make sure.
Shells? My God, in shells? Oh, he's out there?
Because it was that one game, one practice.
Because he has a man crush on the guy. And that's why he asked it.
You like his staff, huh? What were we talking about?
Anyway, Fox 25, according to Kevin, is reporting that the charges against Julian Edelman were dropped.
Oh,
okay.
According to Fox 25.
Good.
So it was a money grab effort?
No, I don't think so.
No? Yeah, not necessarily.
Well, I think it was overblown.
It was a very different kind of grab.
Is that it? What else you got?
I mean, nothing.
I don't want to be Mr. Cynical, but isn't there a possibility that the money grab worked?
Sure.
And the charges are gone?
Possibly. Yeah, I don't think that's what happened.
I have no idea what happened, but...
All we saw was stretching, Fred, so... Not much you can get out of stretching.
Mood?
Subdued.
Indoor or outdoor?
Subdued. Training camp fields.
Outdoor, okay.
Yeah. Raw day. Very raw.
Raw day.
Is it raining?
Cold, starting to rain a little bit.
I thought it was supposed to be warm and raining today.
No.
Well,
that's how it was
relatively.
This morning. It was pretty warm this morning.
It was.
For mid-December.
Mild.
Yeah, mild. One might say mild.
Remember we had the mild discussion. Mild means hot. No, mild means cold.
Mild is relative to what the norm is.
Jesus. It's also
boring. We had this discussion.
All right. Time to go around the NFL. We're not even going to break.
We're not going to re-rack.
Have you braked at all this show?
Broken?
Yeah, we took a break.
We braked.
Listen to me speaking English.
Yes, Will.
For a second, I thought you were mocking him, and I'm like, I'm not sure he's.
Yes, Will. We braked.
Paul, what happened
last
week?
That's pretty ga. What happened last week? Another good week for the entire
Wilson Hart Power Index.
Eric went 13-3.
Wow.
Paul went 12-4. Andy went 11-5. Fred went 10-6.
Taking it up the rear.
With the spread, Eric and Paul went 10-6. Andy and Fred went 8-8.
So
season,
for the
standings as follows. Eric and Paul are tied for the top, 139-69, followed by Fred, 136-72,
and Andy,
132-76.
Getting close.
That's been an annual theme.
With the spread, Eric in the lead by himself at 103-99-6. Paul and Fred, 100.
By the way, while Paul's reading this, Eric's got like his arms over his head like Rocky on the steps.
102-6 for Paul and Fred. And Andy, 97-105-6.
You're right, Fred. It's unbecoming. I should be used to it now after all these years of beating you guys.
Right. Paul, did you hear that?
I did.
Just ignore it.
He just ignored it.
All right.
Even though it's true.
Let's start with...
Hi-ho, going to need a couple of numbers. Go ahead.
Seven.
Let's start with tonight.
That's a number.
That's just one. One of the couple.
Thursday night 12. Football on NFL Network.
I don't know about you, Fred, but I can't get enough of Jacksonville in primetime.
Taylor Price.
It's unbelievable.
Woo!
Fourth time Jacksonville's been on in primetime.
Yeah. And
for a team that was supposed to suck
going into the season. On the heels of Seahawks-Rams Monday night football. Where is this week?
But at least the Seahawks and Rams, admittedly, bad matchup.
How many times?
But they
tonight...
are the two teams that tied for the lead in that division last year, late in the year.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't a stretch to say, well, that could be an important game for the division. No one saw San Francisco doing that.
How many times tonight will they mention Shad Khan?
A ton, because they'll have those things out again. I think the mustache is it in Jacksonville?
Yeah. No, it's in Atlanta.
Oh, forget it. Then they won't have the mustaches out.
But
although they could,
they
have
might,
the little,
they could.
The
why the fans form. Wore mustaches?
The fans have a little handlebar
mustache.
Had
to have been
things,
a third of the crowd had them on.
Looked like the Pringles guy.
Yeah, but it was really. You know how those sometimes those efforts fail. This one was pretty good. Enough people did it so that it was pretty cool.
Okay, I don't want to dwell on this game because we have to get going. But
and quickly.
Jacksonville at Atlanta. Atlanta. Why don't you guys go around the table first?
Atlanta by 11.5.
Atlanta by 11.5.
Oh, I will take the Falcons to win at home. And you know what? I'm going to lay the points, too. I think they'll put a whooping on the Jags.
Yeah, me too. I'm not a big Atlanta fan, but I can't take Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going to I'll take the points. Atlanta will win, but I'll take those points. I think last week Jacksonville kind of played a little bit better.
No, they blew out Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so maybe they're a little pumped up.
Yes.
41-14.
Which I would say is a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. When you blew out Tampa Bay.
So I will take Atlanta, but I will also take the points.
All right. Saturday. It's a Saturday game.
Oh.
At 8:20. Not sure exactly when the kickoff will be, but Dallas at Tampa Bay. Dallas at Tampa Bay.
Dallas by 7.
I will take the Dallas Cowboys. They're tied for 9th in the power rankings, and obviously Tampa Bay is 31st, a terrible team, and would be without a coach if they had enough coaches. They've had a bigger staff, no, right, Fred?
Ridiculous.
I'll take the Cowboys to win, too. Very, very terrible performance at the end of the game last week, but the
very terrible.
Yeah,
a double very terrible.
Well, because
that's just like a John Beck double down arrow.
Because it's become par for the course for these Cowboys.
They stink,
screwing up at the very end when they
love
should
it, love
lead.
It.
You know where that starts?
The Buccaneers are even. Well, perhaps.
You know, you argued that no one would say like an owner. It starts at the top. Mm. The ownership.
But that
is
one's
greatness.
Different. He's the
that
general
one
manager.
Starts at the top for badness.
But he's the general manager, so that one's accurate.
So I'll take the Cowboys. What was the number again, Paul?
7.
Yeah.
Who'd you take, Andy?
Cowboys to win and cover.
Cowboys.
Both?
Yes.
Yeah, I will as well. Tampa Bay is just a mess.
Me too. Sunday at 1, Miami at Buffalo.
Pick 'em.
Okay.
Oh, Nelly. The Miami team. Who's their
the coach?
Interim coach?
Todd Bowles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, correct.
Interesting. I got to find these two Jag teams. Buffalo Bills are 23rd, and the Miami Dolphins are 18. So I'll take the Miami Dolphins under Todd Bowlesy.
I just can't. I can't buy into the Dolphins. So Bills are at home. I'll take Buffalo to come off this schneid against an AFC East opponent.
Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo, too. I think they are – if Sperano didn't get fired last week and they didn't have that end of that little run, I would probably have gone with Miami, but I think Buffalo finds a way.
Mm. Yeah, I think that – I think the players like Tony Sperano, and I think, you know, they kind of play a little down this week. So I'm going to go with Buffalo as well. I'm with Paul. If Sperano was still the coach, I'd be picking Miami.
Victory.
Seattle.
The show's in last place.
What's that?
Every time he's the only one to pick one,
right.
He puts his arms over
right.
his head.
Right, that's why he's in last place.
He says
place.
Victory. I said right. The show's in. You're in last place.
Right. He can put his hands up over his head. Nobody else
Season's
can,
not though. Over yet. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
But it's his little T-Rex arms that Fred calls him.
Actually, it's a sprint to the finish now for me.
Who do we have here now?
Seattle at Chicago.
What was that?
Sprint to the finish.
That's when we need the cameras right there to see that face that Andy just had.
Seattle at Chicago.
Chicago by 3.5.
I will take the 11th ranked Chicago Bears, even though I don't feel very good about them.
Bear
I think that was a demoralizing loss, and they have a backup quarterback, a backup running back. Nothing good comes from that events of last weekend, but I'll still take them because by rule I have to.
I'll take them because they're at home. If they were on the road, I might pick the Seahawks, but that's not the case. So lucky for them, they get my pick this week.
I am going to take the Fred Kirsch-like upset
of the week.
Of the week. 3.5-point spread. I'm going to take Seattle. I think Chicago is the wheels are falling off.
I agree with Paul. They lost to a running back last week, according to them. And that's it for them.
Not according to you, though, Fred.
Yeah, their own.
Carolina.
They lost to Marion Barber.
Carolina at Houston.
Maybe that's what he meant.
Carolina
the
at Houston.
The top-ranked Houston Texans by 6.5.
Well, we already know who Andy's
playing. They got a backup quarterback. They got backup receivers. They got backup outside linebackers. They got a backup defensive coordinator. It doesn't matter when you're the best well-rounded team in football. You win. Number one in the heart, Wilson Power Index, Houston Texans.
Yeah, I believe in what the Texans are doing, even with all of the calamity that they've
I
had to overcome.
In miracles.
So I'll take them to win and cover.
Now he's got his chest hair hanging out, and he's got a pimple on his chest.
I will take Houston, but I will take the 6.5.
What the hell was that evil laugh for?
Houston, and I will take Carolina for the points.
I'm going to take Carolina to win this game.
Oh.
I don't think that they can stop Cam Newton.
Oh, they can.
Yeah, they
can. And they will.
Oh, boy.
Tennessee at Indianapolis.
Good, Paul.
Sunday
again,
at 1.
Again, we need the cameras for that.
Tennessee by 6.5.
I'll take Tennessee, number 13-ranked team, to beat the last-ranked team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Win and cover, Tennessee. Win and
Tennessee.
Cover.
Tennessee.
Bad Colts.
Well, I feel bad for Jim Caldwell because he's got to win one of these games.
and it ain't going to happen. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I can't possibly pick Indiana. I do think Indy's got a shot, but I can't possibly pick them. I'll take Tennessee.
Yeah, me too. Tennessee. All right, still Sunday at 1. Green Bay at Kansas City.
As a Patriot fan, I'm rooting for Indy to save Jim Caldwell's job. One less team to worry about next year.
Green Bay at Kansas City.
Green Bay by 14.
I got to take Green Bay.
Yeah.
Are you sure that Kansas City's not ahead of them on your rankings?
I will take Green Bay, the number 2-ranked team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index, but my heart is with the Chiefs and Romeo Crennel. I'm a big fan.
Oh.
I love Romeo.
Oh, never mind.
Romeo's one of my favorite coaches of all time.
Are you laying the points?
He wants that job. What are the points?
14.
I'll take them.
Show my support.
Rack them up.
I'll take Green Bay to win and cover.
If they win, rack them up.
Yeah, I'll take Green Bay and I'll lay the points, too.
I'm sorry, Romeo.
Me too.
Can't do it.
A little worried about the injuries piling up for the Packers, though.
Oh, he's already starting with the excuses as to why they lose. Interesting.
I'm laying 14 points. I don't think they're going to lose.
But I'm a little worried. I'm just saying. I'm a little worried. So if they lose, it's because of the injuries. They're starting to pile up.
There's going to be a reason if they lose, right?
Right.
It's Kansas City.
They can't have more injuries than the Jaguars or the number one ranked Houston Texans.
New Orleans at Minnesota.
Why can't they have more?
Because I've never heard of anybody.
There are a lot of bad teams in this league. Boy.
Yeah.
Every game, it's a terrible team facing a not great team.
They're all terrible teams.
Yeah.
New Orleans at Minnesota.
Even the undefeated one.
New Orleans at Minnesota. Well, just even the good teams, everybody's picking apart all the so-called good teams. It's just a bad league. New Orleans at Minnesota, Saints by 7.
Oh, the number 9 ranked, tied for 9th, New Orleans Saints, moved up to 3 spots this week from 12. I'll take them to win over Minnesota. Minnesota stinks.
Yeah, winning cover for Saints.
Yeah, normally my fear is about the Saints being on the road. They're indoors,
right.
Even though they're on the road
so
this
like
week. So I'll take them and I'll lay the points.
Yeah.
That's a bad defense.
You didn't need
the
to ponder that one too long.
Me too.
Paul.
He got yanked last week.
New Orleans in.
I know.
Who's
their
the
backup?
Points?
Joe Webb.
Joe Webb ran for
like 120 yards.
Yeah.
Washington at the Giants.
Washington.
1 o'clock.
Joe Webb?
University up?
Yeah.
No, he went somewhere else.
So.
He went to a Florida school, right? Or no. Georgia?
Wasn't he a small school guy, Joe Webb?
I think he might have been a small school guy.
I don't know. Why don't you look that up?
That's what I'm going to do right now.
Why don't you Google that one?
I'm going to do that right now.
Giant Arkansas State.
Fred, have you been to Alaska?
Giants by 7. We asked Fred yesterday if he's been to Alaska.
Yeah.
And he wasn't sure if he had been there or not.
It's the biggest freaking state. How can you not know if you're
there? He said he thought he stopped
over
there.
One of the most unique
something.
States, too.
And I also, he said stopped
well, that's
over.
My point.
And I said stopped over where? Going to Russia, via the Bering Strait?
Yeah.
And he's like, he had no idea.
I forget.
And then Paul said, how do you know what the Bering Strait is? That turned into a shot at you,
I was going to say that, but
I said, I'm not pompous like Eric. There's a lot in my head, but I don't need to beat everybody over the head with my intelligence.
Okay.
Prove how intelligent I am.
UAB, Joe Webb.
I got there finally. What's Alabama?
Birmingham.
Yeah. Alabama, Birmingham.
I was in the area. Georgia, Florida. Not Minnesota. That's way up.
I was thinking
you were
smaller,
in the area. Middle of the country,
school.
Top
Who
to
was
bottom.
Eric Decker's quarterback at Minnesota?
Oh.
Wasn't it a Webb?
I don't know.
Okay.
Giants by 7.
Wasn't that long ago?
No. 2 years ago.
Yeah. Giants by 7.
Why are you banging on the glass?
I thought he might be listening.
Giants by 7.
Giants over who?
Giants by 7. Washington.
Washington.
I will take
at
the New York.
Giants,
the number 14 ranked team. Washington well down the rankings, number 28.
Yeah, Giants at home. Washington not getting – yeah. For some reason, the Giants – continue to win these games. I don't understand it, but I'll take them.
I thought for sure he was taking the Redskins.
I'll take the Giants to win. I'll take the points, though. 7's a lot, and I think the Giants' defense blows.
I'll take the points. I mean, I won't take the points. I'll lay them, and I'll take the Giants. The hottest quarterback in the NFL might be Eli Manning right now.
Might be Rex
Grossman.
Some
might say elite.
Might be Rex Grossman safe for that questionable call
at
the end zone.
Cincinnati at St. Louis.
Cincinnati by 6.
Number 15 ranked team beats a bottom feeder like the Rams. My poor boy Sam Bradford shouldn't be on the football field.
He's
terrible.
Hobbling around.
I read a story today that the St. Louis Rams should draft a quarterback.
That's fine. That's an argument to be made. I think it's ridiculous. But
what?
Yeah.
In the first round?
Where'd you read this crap?
Bleacher Report?
NFL.com.
Was it via Bleacher Report?
No.
You have a thing against Bleacher Report?
Evidently, if you're not picking up on the tone.
Right.
Well, I guess that's
Where'd you read that? Bleacher Report?
You turned me on to, but every sports article is from Bleacher Report. It's some clown down the street.
So say you don't like it, and they won't
I don't click on them. They should know when I don't click on
click
them, I don't
on
like it.
No, but click on it and say, I didn't like this.
But if I like it, I click on it. If I don't click on it, don't bring
it. I'm saying if you don't want them anymore, that's the way to do it.
So I have to click on it and say it sucks.
Yeah, or else, you know, they just look at the subject matter and send you stuff.
Ugh.
But do they just look at the number of clicks and say, oh, look how many hits we got to
this
story?
Yeah, no. Billions of people are clicking on Bleacher Report all because they want to say I don't like it.
They do. But a lot of that Bleacher Report site is getting a lot of traffic.
It's all fans. It's wannabe writers reading other wannabe writers and saying, ooh, you're a great wannabe writer.
But these algorithms don't look at that. They
no
look
offense
at
the, to Eric Renz or anybody
Derek
like that.
Derek in Arizona.
They look there's a place for it in this world, but it shouldn't be alongside ESPN.com. They're two different things, two different ventures.
Let's keep going.
Kid's name was Adam Weber.
Told you there was a web in it.
I didn't say you were wrong.
All right, Spider-Man.
I said I don't know.
Cincinnati at St. Louis.
Where's he now?
He took Cincinnati. What do you got?
Okay, I'll take Cincinnati.
Let's say you.
I say win and cover.
Yes, I do as well. They break their little losing streak.
Yeah, Cincinnati. All right, that's it for the 1 o'clock games. We move over to 4.
The early 4 o'clock games?
4:05. There's only one 4:05 game. Detroit at Oakland.
Detroit by 1.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you going to do?
What do you think? I'm going to give you right now, over under, penalties in this game.
Is Sue playing?
27.
I'll take the under. I think it'll be in the low 20s. I'll take Detroit, obviously.
I'll take Detroit, too, to win.
What happens when you mortgage your future for a quarterback who sucks? Oh, you suck.
The Oakland Raiders.
What a terrible trade that was. He's right. That was one of the most historic trades in league history. But
well, that was
it's going to be up there
the
with Herschel Walker.
A lot of people
literally,
thought that.
The guy was done. Everybody knew he was done except the guy who liked him because he coached him once and recruited him to USC.
I will take Detroit as
And he
well.
Had a couple of good games in the middle, which made you think, maybe they're going to
make
it.
He's competitive. He's back. He's not good.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah. He's played some reasonably good games, but he's still a guy that throws a ton of interceptions.
Yeah. I'll take Detroit. All right. 4:15, Cleveland at Arizona.
Cleveland steamer.
Arizona by 7 behind John Skelton. Even though Kevin Cobb might start.
What?
I said even though Kevin Cobb might start.
Cleveland and Arizona, 3 spots apart. I'll take the home team. Who is it?
Arizona.
I'll take Arizona then.
Take Arizona because they are playing better of late than I would have expected them to at this point. And I don't trust the Browns.
Plus, the Browns are in turmoil right now over Colt McCoy thing.
I know.
Their defense is really... Well, none of the doctors were busy. None of them saw him get hit. I mean, is that what you're going with? You have all these guys on the sideline for player safety, and no one saw the guy get hit. You're really going to go with that?
Even if you didn't see him, if he comes to the sideline and somebody says he got hit in the head, test him for a concussion.
I mean, their argument is, I missed it.
I'm sure Fritz Schirmer there really appreciated Holmgren coming out and saying, no, he did not get a concussion test on the sideline.
Right.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having my back.
And then he said he's a very competent young coach.
Well, I also read
he'll be our coach for a long time.
I read something also today about James Harrison, and they said if he doesn't mend his ways, or he should be banned from the league.
Thrown out the league.
Because, you know, the other side of this, besides the fines that he's incurring and suspensions, there's guys getting hurt because of this.
Well, that is the side.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's the important one.
Everyone's kind of forgetting that, but, you know, he's hurting people.
Yeah, and it seems like he does it a lot to the Browns. Was Massaquoi the guy that he laid out last year or the year before?
Yeah.
With a really bad hit, and now McCoy, I mean,
You know, it's one thing to just be an aggressive player.
This McCoy one, to me, was really, really bad. Because I think he intentionally threw his helmet down to do exactly what he ended up doing. That was the Massaquoi one,
to
me,
attempt to
he was coming as a missile, and he had his head down. You know, that's a fine. That's a penalty. You can't do that. But this one, to me, was almost like he said to himself, I'm going to really lay this one out.
Yeah.
And he did it on purpose.
In high school. Punt protect.
I picked Arizona, too.
My helmet under his chin knocked him out.
I took Arizona, but I'm going to take the points.
Okay.
I'll take Cleveland with the points.
You apologize?
What are the points?
No,
7.
No, I'm going to. I think Arizona covers. All right. The other 4:15.
You knocked
game.
A guy out?
He knocked himself out, but. He went airborne. He launched himself trying to block a punt.
Hey, he threw his chin into the top of my helmet. What am I supposed to do?
Consider it.
I may have done the Brandon Merriweather and lowered my helmet to ensure that it hit his
chin. Well, that's the part of it that I'm talking about with Harrison. He intentionally did that.
I didn't
know
better, though. I was a young player. I hadn't learned like Harrison over the years.
He hasn't learned.
Can you imagine that battering ram of a head coming at you in a helmet?
The ultimate fullback.
I actually used to use it a lot. I was not a...
Is that why it's so swollen now?
You must have had a lot of that red mark perpetually on
yes.
your forehead.
Broke a couple face masks. Oh, I used my head a lot.
Your own or other people's?
Mine.
Isn't it all coming together now?
Yeah, it is.
It's all coming together.
Do I have that stuff? What's that brain protein?
I don't know. Jets at Philadelphia, 4:15.
Eagles by 3.
Eagles.
I'll take the Jets.
Three.
The Jets nipping at New England's heels in the 7th spot just behind your number 5 Patriots. I'll got to take them because they're rising up.
I'll take the Jets on the road, too, because I still think they're a better team than the Eagles.
Yeah.
We got a guy who says yeah and one who blows the microphone.
Paul?
I will take the
this
Eagles.
Good radio right here, John.
I think the Jets every year lose a bad game in December
and this is
to
the
a
one?
Team that they shouldn't lose to. This is the one.
This is the one, huh?
Yeah, I'd love to take the Eagles, but I just can't. Jets.
Jets.
Sunday night, we're skipping over the Denver game. Sunday night at 8:20, Baltimore.
But he doesn't want Tebow to win, but we're skipping over the Denver game.
Baltimore at San Diego. Baltimore at San Diego.
I'm sorry, Baltimore by 2.5.
2.5.
I'll take Baltimore to win. They're the better football team. Just a down year for old friend Philip Rivers. You know, we'll find out. Well, I've kind of always liked him, a gamer. His attitude, his hot-headedness bothers me. But I actually brought him up as an example. He's one of those guys that can break interception records, because Carol asked me yesterday, Carol Hardy, our circulation manager.
I thought Pete asked you.
What's the average for interceptions? And I said, well, there's not really an average. You can't have it. I mean, it changes every year. And I said, but high numbers only generally come from great quarterbacks having bad years, because if you're a crappy quarterback and throw, like, 15 interceptions, you lose your job. Only franchise quarterbacks like Eli Manning had, what, 25 last year? And what's Rivers up to? He was at 17 last time I checked, but he's knocking on the door of a 20-interception season. So
I'm going to go with the Ravens as well because I do think they're the better team, and I think they're starting to play more consistently. Chargers have been playing pretty well of late, too, but Ravens know what's at stake. They're fighting for that number one overall seed. And
plus Ray Lewis back, right?
Ray Lewis coming back, yeah. It's going to be bad news.
Yeah.
Bad news for Philip Rivers.
There's nothing else to sell.
I'll take Baltimore, too.
I'm going to take San Diego. I think they're going to make it interesting.
You know what that's called?
West.
Wishful thinking.
Pittsburgh at San Francisco Monday night.
Just so you know, that could be a bad thing for the Patriots.
Why? Yeah, you want Baltimore to finish ahead of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Well, Pittsburgh's going to lose, too.
Well, if they both lose, then it's okay.
Batch plays. Right?
Roethlisberger is iffy.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Probably won't play.
And if he does, he's limited.
Oh, by the way, okay, we'll get to that. But Pittsburgh at San Francisco.
Numeral, Paul?
I'm sorry. Pittsburgh, San Francisco.
He's texting
Pittsburgh
with his girlfriend over there.
No, I was looking something up about
Pittsburgh
the...
Pittsburgh by 3 on the road.
I'll get to it later.
I'll take San Francisco because they are the number 3 ranked team well ahead of the Steelers, and I got to do it. It's the rule.
I'll take them because they're at home, and the Steelers may not have Roethlisberger, and I don't know.
Why are these ending with question marks, Ron Burgundy?
because
they're at home.
I'm puzzled. I'm puzzled at the Steelers getting the road nod. So I'll
take
the
49ers. They did lose to the Cardinals last week. The Niners.
They did, but I think that's good for that. That's a good spot for them to lose because now they come back at home more motivated to beat a better team like.
Do have Alex Smith as their quarterback?
You took Pittsburgh.
No, I took San Francisco.
We both did.
No.
Okay, I will take Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take San Francisco. All right, now we go back to 4:15. New England travels to Denver. The number?
6.5, Patriots.
6.5.
That's an easy one. Patriots, you know, by my rankings, are the 5th-ranked team, well ahead of the number 22-ranked worst 8-5 team, the Denver Broncos. That's accurate. That's dependable. It's a Wilson-Hart Power Index. Patriots are the better team. They go on the road. They blow them out. When you go 7 3-and-outs like Tim Tebow does, 4-5 in a row, that sounds like a recipe to be down 17-plus points to Tom Brady and company. And that's the way it'll be. Defense will make a couple plays. He can try his little historic comebacks, but God's not on his side this week.
Here are the facts. The Patriots have beaten the Broncos 16 times all time. 8 of those have come at Denver. 6 of those have come in the 1960s. The only 2 wins that the Patriots have in Denver.
He's so negative.
Under Bill Belichick, 2000-2003. But you know what? Tom Brady's worst record is against the Denver Broncos.
I'm very
Patriots
touched.
Lose. Broncos win.
He says it like excited. He's finally, excited.
That's... Finally, someone reads my preview. I'm so touched.
He's excited that he's predicting the Broncos to win. That's just wrong.
You wrote that in your preview?
Look, that's just wrong.
I'll take the trade-off. It took Tebow for you to be a Patriots fan. It took Tebow for him to not be.
He hasn't been a Patriots fan in 5 years since he closed the door on the dynasty.
That's true.
Won't be winning no Super Bowls anytime soon. They went 14-2.
Anytime soon. What are you on, Pete Depitone now?
Now, that was funny.
Today, Junior?
I was going to say, no, we should take a break.
Paul?
Or whatever you said earlier. Braked?
And G. Joe, I like... Joe Hijamit.
I love the Pats in this game. I don't think it'll be close. I think
lock of the week.
I think the game is over by the end of the first quarter. I really do. I think,
but their game's never over at the end of the first quarter.
Not with Tebow time.
End of the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
Tebow mania.
That's right.
The only way that the Denver can win this game is if it's in the low teens, and there's no way, unless the Patriots do it all for them, that the Broncos can hold the Patriots to the low teens, 34-10.
Paul, from your lips to God's ears.
34-10. You know you want Denver to win the Denver game.
Paul.
I'm telling you, you're saying one thing. Believe me.
A smile on his face.
Andy he's going to have his Broncos thong on.
Andy will tell you, I'm an expert.
Do you still have the Elway jersey?
Andy, am I not an expert in saying one thing and believing another? I can tell.
You have a I've never seen the Mecklenburg. Is that as tight as the Elway one?
77.
Well, yeah, there's one seven. At least one seven under one pit. The other seven on the other pit. Right now,
That's poor.
Is that poor to you?
Yeah. No. Patriots all the way. And the number.
That's a shocker.
Too much offense.
Eric, you're really
not enough offense.
It's just like a gimmick pick.
It's not a gimmick pick.
They never play well in Denver.
That's accurate.
True.
And Tebow has proven that he can win games.
Tim Tebow play well in Denver, so it puts him on an even playing field.
Right. Listen, and the Patriots have had their struggles at the end of games, have they not?
If they were just playing a regular offense,
have they not?
I might be willing to go with all the Denver stuff. I just don't see this offense scoring any points. They can't put any pressure.
All the Patriots need to do is have a second and third quarter like they usually do when the game's over.
Right. Maybe. You got all your numbers, I got mine. 48.8 completion percentage. 31.1 third down conversion percentage. Final score, you lose. Thanks.
All right, John. John's on deck. 35-10. Playbook. John, what do you got coming up?
This is very, very interesting. I'd rather listen to another hour of
No,
that.
I saw you I yawn too. Three times over there.
I love this show.
Very good. No, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna see if anybody's got a prayer that they'd like to offer for Tim Tebow for this Sunday.
All right, so John will have that.
I pray he learns how to throw.
Eric loves me some Tebow.
Pete Shepard with the lowdown and Brian Lowe with.
Are you picking
your
with your church?
Pick?
No,
your faith.
Nope.
Because you're a Bible toting man.
No.
Do you bring a Bible on the road with you?
There's one in the drawer.
It's that Reagan book.
No, I know there's one in the drawer. There's one in the drawer, right?
No, I have a small travel.
Why is there one in the drawer?
The Gideons get to all the Bibles and they throw them. I mean,
why
isn't there
what's that other thing? Quran or I mean, shouldn't there be everything available? You're at a hotel.
I don't know, but the Gideons have made the effort to put the Bibles there.
There should not be just a Bible in the drawer.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Prague.
All the other stuff.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
The Quran.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.